to the 8-4 play 15th annual Black Friday extravaganza. Black Friday. That's right. If you are listening to this in line at Walmart or Best Buy or what have you, watch your back. That's all I'll say. Watch your six.
Yeah.
Me being...
Technically, there might be people lining up as we're recording this.
That might be happening, but this should come out like at a good time for everybody.
Sure.
On their Black Friday. Either waiting in line or going store to store or what have you. But more importantly, I am your host, Mark Akeem, which is McDonald.
Yes. What was that?
With me, to my right, I have Justin J.J. Style Epperson.
Yes, it's J.J. Style.
J.J. Style.
Oh, my gosh.
J.J. Style. So there's this anime, Yuri on Ice, which I have not watched.
I've seen a lot of people talking about
this. I'm going to start watching immediately.
This anime.
It's about figure skating.
I've watched all of it so far.
Really? Mm. And so there's this character. He's Canadian, right?
Actually, I haven't seen that's from the newest episode.
Okay. His name is J.J.
Spoiler.
And he has his song that he ice skates to, figure skates to, is all about him. And he's like, it's J.J. Style, the king of something. J.J. Style.
And he kind of looks like you
a little bit
without a beard,
like right with the maple leaf tattoo.
The eyebrows, totally.
Yeah,
I could probably get my hair cut.
But
like
can
that
you
too.
Do like the J.J. with your fingers? Can
I'm,
you make a
I'm
double
working
J?
On it. I'm working on
he's
it.
He's working on
can
it. He's
flash,
working on
can
it.
Can you flash your gang sign? Your J.J.
I don't know.
I'm
trying.
It's like definitely an L. Yeah.
You got a special Black Friday memory for us, J.J.
You know, not particularly. I used to work at an arcade, and one night we had to close at midnight, so we were like, well, fuck it, let's just do Black Friday right after. And we went to a local Best Buy, and it was like, we were like in the front, but it was like total fucking chaos.
Yeah,
we ended up buying like a spool of blank TVDs.
So you didn't even go for any specific reason. You just went because it was Black Friday, and we were
bored.
Ran into the store like look for whatever was cheap.
We were just bored.
Okay. You're like, I want to experience the shittiest, like most horrible retail.
But I feel like we did it just before it like hit critical mass in terms of like how Black Friday has been recently.
What year would that have been? Roughly,
it would have been at least 12 years ago.
And what time was it? Like, what time did you get there?
We got there at like, we went to IHOP first, and then we got there around 2:30.
Yep.
And then
when did it open?
At 6 in the morning.
Okay.
I do feel like something happened in the mid-aughts, like early to mid-aughts, where Black Friday got kind of weaponized fully. Mm-hmm. And maybe just like social media now, we see it more. Maybe it was always there.
I think that's
part
of it.
Yeah.
But it was pretty ugly. This was well before Twitter. I've told the story before, I think, on this podcast, where it was like just random Best Buy and in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And I got there at like 4:30 in the morning. I don't even remember what I was there for. And it was like there was a line, but it was all kind of just put together, you know, ad hoc. There was no like official line. And so when the doors opened, it broke down, and it was like fucking there was no law.
It was just a stampede.
There was no rules. It was it was in how shit gets ugly.
I worked at Best Buy for 2 Black Fridays.
Ooh. Wow. So we got some good stories. Who is that? Wait, JJ,
this is
intro. You're the nickname master
this
now.
This is Ashtano Roy Blakely.
Nice.
I've been Ashtano Roy and Gagigan O'Roy, like my two favorite. Like old school.
Are you Ashtano Joe or what's the... Okay.
Because he takes a 2-hour lunch to go boxing after he eats.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
Following in my footsteps.
That's
a 2-hour lunch idea.
Great. Yeah.
Started a trend.
It's the only way to do gyms here because...
Like, there's nobody there.
Because it's
work,
so crowded otherwise.
After work, it's insane. Yeah.
It's like getting on a crowded train. It's like sardines.
So, Roy, so give us your best Best Buy Black Friday story.
Okay, so I worked 2 Black Fridays. The first one, I was, like, the new guy still. So that meant you were coming in at 4 a.m., like, the shitty shift, basically. Mm-hmm. It was a 10-hour shift.
Mm-hmm.
You get in at 4 a.m., and, like, so
line
you're
already
there.
Out
oh,
the
yeah.
door. Okay.
Like, tents. I actually, like, knew the tent people. They were pretty cool.
The tent people,
yeah.
Wow.
The ones who were there, like, they would
at
ask
giving out free water and bread.
No, they would, like, ask to use our brooms to, like, sweep away leaves and
put off like their stoop.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
wait,
I mean,
cool.
you know.
Bring your own broom. Jeez.
Well, I liked them. I mean, you saw them a lot. So, tried to be
you
nice.
You know what?
I
upset the tent people, Sarah. Like, you obviously never worked at a Best Buy before.
the sand people in Star Wars.
Yes, are easily frightened, but they will return
and
in greater numbers.
Like black, not They're like Best Buy regulars?
Whenever a new thing comes out, or what?
They're just the people that like are there, like how we were saying, they're already in line now.
The hardest core.
They're just, yeah, yeah.
They bring a tent because they're going to be there for a couple days.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, I thought these were
people that were working at Best Buy. He's just talking about people who were lining up in tents.
Yeah. Yes.
How long were they usually there for?
I think it was like you left Wednesday night, and they were like already
Wednesday night.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, we'll have a separate tent people special. Okay. Sarah.
I know.
You've like never heard. You've these people camp everywhere.
Yeah, but I want to know who. Yeah. I need to interview these people. Who are these people?
Right. I want to know the more important thing. Did they pay you extra to come in at 4 a.m.?
No.
Really?
No.
You don't get time and a half?
No.
Oh, man.
And on the day after Thanksgiving. Okay. Right. So yeah, right? You got in at 4. Right. 10 people are there.
Yep.
So give them the broom. And
then as like the day goes on, you have to organize a little bit more. Sounds like your Best Buy kind of dropped the ball there. But it's like you organize based on like the key things that people want. So like for instance, we had some TV that was like we only had 10 of,
right?
So we had to like have these coupons ready to hand out to the first 10 people. We'd go down and be like, okay, do you want the TV? And of course every
Still in line.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
kind of how you simulate order.
That's so like civilized. Yeah. And not fun though.
Exactly,
because like,
because then when we finally opened the doors, I was like, here it comes, they're all gonna run, and nobody did. And like one of the other employees was like, why aren't you running? Like they actually like shut it.
Run, damn you. Yeah,
it was kind of anticlimactic. But I mean the whole day it just was miserable otherwise, because I did returns. That was
I would think Black Friday would not be a big day for returns though.
Well, it was every time something went wrong at like a normal exchange, or somebody was like, oh, you didn't apply my credit card and get my Best Buy MasterCard, you know, all that shit, then they'd have to go back to me and I'd have to do it all over again.
All right. Yeah. Sounds like you enjoyed that job.
Yeah. No. Well,
amazing that
the people were nice. Are here.
Who do we have next, JJ? Continue.
We have
the laughs continue.
John, the bitlegger, Ricciardi.
Wow.
What?
Yeah. What'd I miss?
This is John's bootlegs of the 8-bit concert he went to yesterday.
Oh, did you say bootlegger?
I said bitleg.
Bootlegger. Like a bit. I was like, yeah. Does that have to do with his shoes?
Yeah.
Maybe? Like he has his 8-bit Nintendo shoes.
That's right.
What was this concert?
Yesterday was the Chip Union Festival, which is like a chiptune thing in Shibuya. And
every year.
I don't know if it's every year or not. Every year, there's some, you know, chiptune thing going on in Shibuya. This year was that. But, yeah, Hip Tanaka was there, and I try to go see him whenever I can. He was awesome.
Friend of the show, Hip Tanaka.
Yeah.
Hip-T.
And he played some, you know, some new stuff. He played some, like, remixes of some old stuff, and I put some videos up for JJ to watch. Those guys to check out today, so I guess that's what you're talking about.
They're really cool. Yes. What are some of the things that... So he basically is always riffing on... some of his older tunes when he plays stuff.
He usually
plays
mostly new stuff, actually, because, you know, he's not technically Nintendo anymore, so... But he played, like, you know, he's gonna snow... It was gonna snow today, as we were recording it snowed.
Which it did, the first time in 56 years?
54.
First time it snowed in November.
In November in Tokyo, yeah.
Yeah, and he... so because of that, he played the Snowman theme from Mother, with Earthbound Beginnings, which is awesome. So, that was cool. But he played some other stuff, but it was great. There was a... Chibi Tech was there, who's another really awesome chiptune musician, and YMCK actually closed it out.
Okay.
Nice. So, yeah.
I didn't know they were still together. I like had the impression that they had broken up at some point, but that's cool.
All right, moving along. JJ, who do we have?
This is Sarah Bait and Switch Podzorski.
Mm-hmm.
Bait and Switch.
Yeah.
Is this a Black Friday story, or what do we have?
I mean, maybe similar. I don't know.
Story about potatoes.
Yeah. I was leaving my station after, like, eating dinner with my roommate, and there's this, like, old man who has a sweet potato truck that he pulls up at night, and he just sells...
Yeah, that song.
Yes.
He just sells, like, baked sweet... Stop it. I'm telling a story.
Okay.
And he just sells, like, these baked sweet potatoes.
Yeah, which these are around, so sometimes you see this.
Yeah, and it's, like, a common tree in Japan. Like, you eat them in, like, aluminum foil, and it's... I don't know, but I was walking up with my roommate, and he starts, like, waving at us, and he's, like, saying something, and he just goes, present, present, and, like, she's, like, unsure about it, but I'm all about free shit, especially free food.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, yes, so I walk over, and he's, like, telling us how he's gonna give us these free sweet potatoes.
In Japanese or in English?
In Japanese, because we're foreign, and I'm like, dude, whatever, just give me my free sweet potato, and then he hands it to me, and then he says something, and all I hear is Trump. And I'm and then he asked if we're like American, and I was like, I just wanted to eat my free sweet potato, and
your
I knew
free poison sweet potato because you voted for Trump, presumably.
Well, it was like it was the day that Trump met with Abe.
Yeah.
So I think he was going off on some kind of like rant about it.
Yeah.
And like my Japanese is okay, but it's not like political talk good. Right. So I was like sitting there with my soup, standing there with my sweet potato. My roommate's just like, Sarah, what's going on? She speaks no Japanese.
Okay.
And I'm nodding and just like agreeing. And I'm just like, please, can I have my free sweet potato?
Had he handed it to you at this point? Or were you like waiting?
He was like working on it. He was working on it. And I was just like, and I was just agreeing with him. He could have been saying the most like horrible racist shit. Right. And I would have just been like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
did you get your sweet potato?
I did get my sweet potato. And then I think he still wanted to talk to me. But I was like, thank you. Bye. And then I like shuffled away.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like he got the raw end of that deal. You got a free sweet potato. How was
it? I know. It was really good, actually. It was? Yeah, it was really good.
Those trucks are awesome.
If he hadn't if he hadn't decided to get political with me, I probably would have bought more in the future.
Maybe he was just making small talk.
I think he was, but that's not the small talk I want to engage in.
You get a lot of that kind of small talk, though. Like, I mean, current events, and because it's like they only get the top, like, you know, it's not like being in America and you can get all the news. They just hear like the top, you know, three stories that everyone's talking about, and then you'll like, I take a lot of taxis, and like, they're always talking about that shit.
Probably the top three stories that have to do with America, because they say you're American, and they want to, you know, try to relate to you.
Yeah.
And be nice.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, like, I, you know, it's not, a lot of times they're just, I feel like the conversations aren't being had for them to actually listen to what I have to say. They're just, like, there to, like, practice English.
My thinking is, like, how would you feel if every time you got on the train, someone would come up to you and start talking to you about, like, the three things they know about America? Like, I go into a taxi, let's take me where I want to go, and that's it. I don't need the chit-chat.
So bitter.
They love to practice their
bitter
English on me.
You're from the
podcast.
South, too, JJ.
Bitter, angry. One guy
I deny the South. Hey.
One guy here is Canadian, so he's nice. He's nice
to everybody.
I'm removed from all this. People talk to me. I just enjoy it.
Foreign cultures. Who do we have? Who do we have here, JJ? Last but not
Roy,
least.
Roy, why don't you help me out here?
It's Graham.
Graham.
Okay, I'll
continue.
Graham.
Roy, no.
Graham. No. Pronouncing it
don't,
wrong.
Don't do
that's
it, Roy.
Okay. Graham. Go on.
Don't buckle.
Graham McConnoisseur Howard.
Yes.
That's me, the one and only.
You eat a lot of McDonald's.
So, well, I eat McDonald's on a very specific schedule.
All right.
I mean, in Japan, McDonald's is very good about rotating their Kikan Gente limited time burgers.
Yes. Right.
On a very regular schedule. So, I mean, like once every month or so, you'll have a brand new burger on the menu.
Yep.
And I'm all about getting in there day one and trying out, you know, it's going to be the best thing you've ever had every single time.
Are any of those any good? Because I see them advertised a bunch.
Some are very good. Some are fantastic.
Really?
You asked
the right person that question, by the way.
2016, some people would say, has been a pretty bad year altogether.
Yeah.
Politics, every celebrity ever has died.
Any McDonald's
But McDonald's
burgers.
Has been having a good year. 2016,
oh, really?
Yeah, we've had really great ones.
Don't they have a promotion at some point where it's like a burger, a new burger every week or month? There's like four of them.
Mm-hmm. So that depends.
There was
like
the American, there was the America Tour of America collection. When was that?
That was a while back.
That was a few
I want to say like 20.
Maybe?
No, no, no.
That was years ago.
It was years ago. I'm going to say like 2011, maybe ish around there.
Oh, wow. Oh, really? Okay.
So, but you know, we've had the Chicken Club. We've had the beef pineapple burger. It was fantastic.
The beef pineapple was good at first, but like halfway through, you're done with it.
Oh, you're wrong. Oh. Anyway, the reason that we're talking about this now is 2 days ago, their latest burger came out.
Yeah.
The Kalbi Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Explain what Kalbi is.
So the Kalbi, it's like Korean barbecue. So what you've got here, I mean, I was in there day one. I was excited. I had me and my boys. We went to go check out this new burger. And they've been having
McDonald burger.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay. Every single time anyone comes out, we're all in there. All
right.
I've been saying they've been having a good year so far, McDonald's.
Yes.
They missed the mark.
Uh-oh. What was the sauce? Is it just because I feel like it's just a different random shit in mayonnaise? Is like, oh, it's a new burger.
Okay, well, I can see you haven't been there often, so I mean, you don't really have that same palate that I do.
That's right. That is true. Yeah. You are correct. I will take that as a
But for
big
this
compliment.
One, we got you know, the beef patty. Yeah. We got a spread of Kalbi on top.
Oh, so it still has the standard hamburger.
Yeah, still got the hamburger.
Right. That's an interesting.
And then you also have some sweet lemon sauce on this one.
Lemon sauce, okay, because the Kalbi.
See, this sounds like a good burger to me. Like, you know, Korean barbecue is always good.
It's good. No, the taste was good. There's one crucial flaw.
Wait, let me guess.
What is it?
The Korean barbecue was actually like the foot of the cow and probably cost about half a penny for them to make. It was shitty, shitty McDonald's quality. Could that have been it?
You're half
right. Am I close?
It was insubstantial. Not enough burger.
Oh, okay.
They need more foot in
there.
So,
I mean, like, yeah. you lift it up out of the beautiful box.
Maybe
box
the problem
amazing.
Was it was being box. Served
the
at
box
McDonald's.
Was amazing. No.
Maybe so that was the problem.
The box was incredible.
It was a fucking McDonald's burger.
Beautiful white and red box. It's got, like, the bull head right on the front. So you open it up, like, the presentation was great.
Yeah.
But really thin patty.
We are up on our year of talking about McDonald's burgers. We'll check in next year, Graham.
I will say that segment was still shorter than the line review that he sent
How many
me.
Paragraphs?
This is the thing. He writes these amazing reviews.
I write really long reviews.
You
send them to JJ. He sends me, like, one word replies.
Yes. A website or another podcast. Because this podcast is ostensibly about Yes Japan, but also games, and sometimes even Japanese games.
Yeah.
JJ,
yeah,
for
Japanese
example,
today.
Yes.
Do we want to start with Final Fantasy?
Well,
we want to start on a good note. It's Thanksgiving time. It's time to give.
Yeah,
thanks.
Why don't we give?
Well,
thanks.
I think people would want to know this before they.
why don't we give thanks first of all for the game that I think most people here have been playing. Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Yeah.
So before we begin, who is Sun and who is Moon and why?
I'm Moon because I liked the idea of it just being alternate times. That's it.
I'm Moon because I chose wrong and should have chosen.
Team Moon. You chose poorly.
Because it's dark all the time?
It's dark during... Yeah, Moon is backwards, right? So it's dark during the day and it's light at night. And I assumed I would only ever have time to play at night. So I'll do that. But actually, it turns out I really only have time to play like on the weekends during the day.
So does everybody sleep during the day or something?
Nobody sleeps. Yeah. It's dark.
It's still Pokemon. It's dark.
It actually is somewhat depressing when it's dark all the time.
It is kind of strange.
In your game that's in Hawaii, people are sunbathing in the dark. So like, it's more like weird.
So there's no no day night cycle.
No, there is.
No, there is.
It's just
but it's 24 hours. It's real time. So it's like it's just flipped.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But there's not like a system where people go to bed, like people leave their shops and stuff.
Okay. I think certain things happen at certain times, but I don't think it's like super crazy.
Well,
like
certain Pokemon come out at certain times.
Mm. Okay. Who else?
I have Sun because I liked the lion and Roy took Moon. So I have Sun.
Oh, right, yeah.
And so, I there's really no big differences between Sun and Moon. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like in X and Y, there's like a definite reason why you should pick.
Wait, the
X
Pokemon are different?
There's
well, the
some.
Pokemon are always different.
Yeah.
But
that's
it's not. There's no one Pokemon for me that just like ruins one game.
Yeah.
Same. Well, kind of
quick aside, these were copies. When you say you chose Sun because Roy chose Moon, we got copies from our friends at Nintendo.
Yes.
Along with our message, this is all paid for, sponsored by like shadowy parties who we can't disclose. So don't believe anything we say. It's all being told to you to further our own self interests. So
we go in after and edit out all the bad things and turn them into good things.
That's
if you're hearing good things right now, that's because we edited
this. It's all me doing the impressions too.
So with that out of the way, who wants to start talking about Pokemans? Show them to
you guys are both more of a Pokemonsters than I am. I mean, you've been playing a lot.
X and Y though.
I played X and Y. I just never beat it.
Okay.
Was that the one with the transformations?
Still look down on Roy.
Sorry.
Obviously,
well,
for not having.
I know Roy and I have differing opinions because I feel like in Sun, at least in the beginning, there's a lot more like action, a lot more cinematic, a lot more solid story. Like you start the game. Looking at another character, totally, like, it's not you. It's not, like, instantly starting in your bedroom.
Right.
So I really liked that sort of more story-based Pokemon game.
Mm-hmm.
But although, like, Roy and I agree, it gets kind of, like, hand-holdy at some points where they just won't let go of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, please, I've been playing Pokemon for, like, so many years.
The first, like, hour or two, it's, like, every five steps you take, there's that little icon that's, like, this is where an event's going to happen. And then people just come out of everywhere and they just talk to you.
I avoid
things,
that icon
and they,
now.
And they like explain what this thing does three different ways.
But you can't avoid it?
I mean,
you can avoid it.
You can avoid it, but eventually to continue the story, you will have to go there. I will just like walk a big circle around it and be like, don't catch me.
Well, you can't do that in the beginning.
No.
Yeah.
But later on in the game, you can.
So how is the writing? How is the story? Is it like standard Pokemon fair?
Pretty standard, yeah.
Yeah? Mm. Okay.
Standard like, Pokemon fair, but they're definitely messing with conventions a lot. I mean, just to like
in the story,
jump to the end of this real quick. It's just so you know, like, where we're going. It's definitely good. Like, I would say this is like a big improvement over like recent ones, because like for the first time they've changed the formula up. Like, it's not gym leaders. It's not the same. You know, you don't go outside and get your roller skates or whatever. Like all that crap. Like you know now you can ride Pokemon to get around. There's fast travel. There's like
the
all
UI
the stuff to make it more of a modern, interesting game. So,
what are other examples of new things that are? Well, like you said, there's no gyms anymore. So what is there?
There's
actually, that's a good question. Yeah, I don't know if I could explain that.
I can try to explain it. So basically, you moved from Kanto, which I believe is like the Japanese version of Pokemon Land. So you moved to basically Tokyo. Hawaii, which is Alola.
Yeah.
And when you got there, there's no Pokemon gyms. Pokemon gyms weren't made there yet. So what you have on each island is a series of trials that you have to complete. And the trials are kind of like little things like find and defeat three of these Pokemon, or like spot the difference. And then once you do that, you'll have to battle a certain Pokemon. You never battle like the gym leader, but there's someone called, what is it, like the
Kahuna.
No, the captain.
Oh,
each trial has
right.
a captain, and each captain has a really powerful Pokemon that they've trained. And then once you complete the trials and defeat the captain's Pokemon, then you can go and defeat the Kahuna of each island, which is like the super powerful gym leader of each island.
I see.
Right. So is it just
so it's kind of like
the
if they were
gyms?
Mini gym leaders and then actual, you
big
know, but they're not
leader.
Gyms and they're
it's more like organic than that now. It's all nature focused.
Right.
How are like the Pokemon themselves? First of all, did anybody choose Popplio?
I did. Oh my gosh, Mark, no!
Muter Mike.
Yes. No!
Okay, yes, that's right.
My son!
Out!
Okay.
Out! You are excommunicated.
No. Wait, no, she has a good reason.
I wanted to choose Litten. I was 100% Litten, but then I saw that it evolves into a WWE fighter. What do I want? A mermaid? A beautiful mermaid or a WWE fighter?
Wait, does Popplio evolve into a mermaid?
It's like a beautiful mermaid seal.
Like a clown?
She's like a
mermaid?
Diva.
No, she's like an actual like
the clown kind of
mermaid.
Kinda,
yeah. Okay, I'll have to see the evolved form.
Can you catch me up?
Yeah,
is Popplio the ugly blue thing?
Yeah.
No, my son is beautiful.
Litten, terrible. Nightmare.
No, you need to see
beast.
Litten. We need to pause this and show.
Yeah,
Litten.
I feel like Litten, like Litten's they really screwed Litten
you're
over.
Some...
Wait, is Litten? Is that the owl?
The cat.
That's the cat.
Is the fire cat. Oh,
the owl is good from beginning to end.
Yeah,
but the cat is like,
oh, like
I heard the owl form actually evolved into some kind of
it's like an emo
Robin
dude,
Hood.
Like emo bow and arrow.
Yeah, it goes from Jeremy Paris to Nick Robinson.
Yeah, exactly. It's like video game editors. Yeah, totally. The second form is just Nick to a T, and like that's actually why I didn't pick it, because like I like Nick, but I don't want to be thinking about him every time I'm looking at Pokemon's
friend
screen,
of the
so.
Show. Nick
yeah, no. So I took the cat for that reason. I don't care what they evolve into.
The cat's second form is really just.
So how are the Pokemon in general? The designs, like the combat.
They have pretty interesting stories. Like their forms are really tied to like their environment more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like one Pokemon I'm like working towards is the new evolution of Cubone, which is like
Marowak. That's what I'm doing too.
Oh, okay, cool. Did you get a thick club?
No.
I'll try to get you one.
Okay, thanks, Roy.
But, so the story for those, so like, Cubone is naturally a ground Pokemon, but
of course.
Yeah, of course.
Duh.
But in Alola, there's a lot of plant Pokemon. So, apparently, Cubone, when they evolved into Marowak, they learned that if they, like, scraped their bone, because they're the ones that, like, carry a bone, if they scrape it against their head, they could, like, make sparks as a form of defense. So, like, the Marowak, the new form, is, like, he's got, like, two bones, and they're, like, on fire.
Whoa,
and,
like, that's so, sick. Like, dual wielding.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like the dancing ones in the trial, I
exactly.
guess.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's cool that it's, like, because of, you know, this island is so tropical and there's lots of plants, they needed to, like, adapt.
Right.
Which so they're trying to lend story reasons to a lot of that.
This is the most interesting thing about it to me is, like, it kind of, like, they took a, like, you know, a biological approach to what if... You know, Pokemon lived on another island.
See, I wish
how
would
they
would have
different?
Hit that harder, because that's like Darwin's Finches.
Yeah, yeah.
And they do that with the birds. Like, you can get a different bird on each island, but I wish they would have pushed that point harder, and I feel like they just kind of like left it by the wayside.
How would they take it further?
I'm curious. Feel like, you know, they're scientists. Hmm. None of them are researching why the Alola Pokemon are different.
That's a good point.
And they should be. Instead, they're on some kind of dimensional bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, come on. It should be, like,
also,
hardcore evolution.
Shirt on.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I was uncomfortable. Like, I'm physically uncomfortable when he shows up and calls me cousin and isn't wearing
this is
a shirt.
The professor, like, the Professor Oak of this game.
Yeah.
Isn't he Oak's cousin?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure
is
he's
your cousin?
Cousin.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Is like a shirtless native?
Well, no, he wears like a lab coat with no shirt underneath.
Oh.
He also, that's how they do it. He also pretends to be a wrestler.
And he just like barges into your mom's house.
A lot. He doesn't knock. And she says, oh, that's him, because he doesn't knock.
Do you ever see your dad in this game?
You never see your dad in,
I'm pretty
in
sure.
a Pokemon, right?
Yeah.
So, you know.
I definitely.
What, do you want your mom to fucking stay single forever?
Mom went to Hawaii on a trip with her friends.
Give her a break. It's been like six games.
You're right.
Woman has needs,
she
Roy.
She deserves happiness.
Yeah. Wait, I thought that your mom... Did I imagine this, or was this like a terrible, terrible nightmare tweet that I had? Or in the Pokemon cartoon at some point, does Ash's mom, like, date or, like, get married
she's
to Mr. Mime?
Very friendly with a Mr. Mime.
Is that for real?
No, I think... I mean, she's very... This is
is
a
that
kid,
for real?
This is a kid's
it's
show.
It's for real, yeah.
Now I'm starting to wonder if
the
I'm
first,
awake.
The first, oh, my God. The first, that is fucking the only Pokemon worse than Popplio.
Mr. Mime is... He's a funny guy.
I don't know. Jinx
a lot
is pretty
charm.
Hard, too.
I guess, Mime. Yeah. You know, they say, like, some guy, if you're funny, like, that
sex
makes sense for
part of the man.
Things, I guess.
It's a humor, right?
Jesus Christ, though. Is that true? Somebody needs to write in and tell us if that was, like, a terrible... joke tweet,
I think,
or if that
I think,
was
I think it was real, right?
Yeah, actually. I mean, in the first episode of the new season, which is actually pretty good, like Ash and his mom and everybody, they all move there, and there's like a scene where like she's in a car and like Mr. Mime's driving, he's got like sunglasses on or something.
Oh my god, they're normalizing Mr. Mime. Yeah. This is terrible.
They have fun with it. It's
oh my god. What about multiplayer or online or any of that stuff?
That's not that big
a
deal.
Never,
but the biggest
big
thing
point.
That Sarah and I we've been trying to figure out is like there's like a system where you can get closer to the Pokemon, which is always
I had that figured out to
get
a T.
Closer,
it's always
emotionally.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
like,
there's always been
like
a
Mr. Mime affection for you.
Oh, I thought I was joking.
There's always been an affection system because there's certain Pokemon that only evolve when they like you enough. But it was always hidden to the player. Like, you could never really tell how well you were doing. Mm-hmm. But now, there's actually, like, a mini game you can do.
That was in Pokemon and Me, though, too.
Wait, I thought does that this was involve like, rubbing the Pokemon?
Yeah. It does.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there's other stuff.
It's kind of looks like the Fire Emblem thing. To
yeah,
me,
no,
it's
like,
better than
it's like
that.
Your pet, right?
But you also
you don't pet people. You
I know
pet
it's
your
a
pet.
Little it's a little normaler when it's like a cat and not like a girl.
And it's not just that. If it were just that, that'd be pretty
friend
lame.
Of the show, Brandon Boyer petting
That was amazing. It looked like his fish was really into it. That was a Goldie, right, or something.
Yes.
I think it was a Goldie.
It was a Goldie. It was way too into it. Yeah, it was
Goldie.
It was like on its lips, like you have to see it. You can find he made a vine
amazing.
Of it, but anyway.
But you also feed them, and you can
feeding them is really cute, and it feels like you hold the thing on the screen. If you let go, it falls. So you like holding it, and they're like biting it out of your finger, like you would feed a dog or something.
And when they don't want any more, they like shake their head back and forth like a baby, and they won't like look at it, and you're like eat the bean, and it's like no.
Put it out of the fucking basket.
But the
fucking bean.
The best part is you can cure status effects too.
Yeah.
So like depending on what is afflicting the Pokemon, you have like a number of tools you can use to if a ground Pokemon did like mud slap to your Pokemon, then it would be all dirty and you'd need to take a towel and
after
off.
Combat
yeah.
it's still dirty. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's what makes it dirty is combat.
Sure. Okay.
And then that makes it like you, and you can also get rid of status effects that normally would carry over to the next battle without having to use an item, which is pretty nice.
I heard people talking about that it looks really good. That like graphically,
it does.
It's one of the most impressive 3DS games, kind of period so far.
The environments look really good.
It's pretty crazy how much better it looks compared to the last one, which did not look good. Yeah.
X and Y was okay, I thought.
It was X, 2, Y, 2. It was the last one that was on the 3DS, right?
X and Y was on the 3DS.
Yeah.
X and Y looked good, but it had like really awkward fixed camera angles that could kind of fuck with you sometimes.
Yeah, the trainers, I mean, the people you fight now are all 3D for the first time, but they look, I mean, you know, when you see them up front, like when you see them on the map, it like turns to that, you know, it had like the cut in of the guy you're going to fight, you know, trainer, whatever, is about to whatever, and it's got like the 2D art. It's 3D, but it looks 2D the way they do it, and it's using the actual model. It looks really good.
Okay, cool. Anything else? Any last comments? So everybody's digging it. Everybody's gonna keep playing it.
Yeah.
I haven't given up on it yet. Yeah, I always give up on Pokemon's like about halfway through, but I'm still into it. It's pretty interesting so far.
I wanted to get it, but I heard there's only one save file.
Well, yeah,
that's a
that's
deal
always
that's always how it
that's
is.
How
yeah.
Pokemon is.
Why is that the case?
So you buy both versions.
I guess that is the. I guess that is it, huh?
Hopefully the Switch will have some sort of profile system where like I could log in and play my games, and Haruki could have his own Pokemon.
That would be interesting.
Maybe, yeah.
I think they just want you to get him his own DS.
So you guys feel like this one is straddling? Because I mean, some of the stuff you were talking about, like the tutorial stuff, sounds to me like okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to have that stuff when part of your player base mm-hmm. is just you know,
of course, yeah,
yeah.
You know, right,
just out of diapers. Basically.
Yeah, I kept having to remind myself, like I would get frustrated with how easy it was. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, this is a game for children.
Right.
This is a game for children.
Yeah. Yeah. But you feel like it's still straddling the line, okay? I mean, you guys are still all in.
Yeah,
it.
It's not as hard as it used to be when I was like younger, playing, you know, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance. Mm.
Well, they're intentionally
easier.
Making it easier too. I mean, you mm-hmm. get an EXP share like 10 minutes into the game. Like they're not, because remember how it used to be you would have to like put the guy you wanted to level up mm-hmm. first, just and then pull him out just so he can get the EXP. Like now everybody shares anyway. So like,
oh really?
That's, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they give you an EXP share, which was like an item. It used to be like an end game item now, and it's like you get it right at the beginning. So like your whole party can share a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just it makes it more accessible. And you know, I think it's pretty much everything about it. The thing that's interesting to me that I never noticed before about this one too is like I'm always looking at the writing because we do localization, right? The writing is not very good. It's not, I wouldn't say it's bad either. It's just like it's just there. It just reads like somebody dumped a ton of shit on someone and said translate this in like a month or something, and so they did the best they could. Like that's fine. But like it's very adult in some places.
Yes.
Like it says stuff that's like the descriptions of the Pokemon are super dark, and I never really read them before. Maybe they were always like
they've always been a little dark, yeah.
Really dark. Like some of it is just like, you know, it takes the bones of its dead mother and like does this or whatever, and it's like
my
cuts itself
like,
just to feel alive.
Yeah, that's kind of what it's like.
Wow. Jeez.
You know, and then, you know, there's a lot of, like, I think it's sexually suggestive lines, but I can't tell if it's intentionally like that or if the people
accident.
Who wrote it didn't understand that what they were saying could be read that way.
What was that gif that you sent me, Sarah?
Okay, so there's a gif of, I think her name is Mallow, and you get to her trial and you have to make food.
Yeah.
And you're, like, you're pounding, like, berries and mushrooms together in, like, a big bowl, and what the camera does is she's like, okay, like, time to mix it, and the camera it pans down to like her like upper thigh to like her belly button.
I mean,
so you're looking at her vagina like face on.
Yeah.
And then she's like, yeah, pound it, and you pound it, and like food's going everywhere, and then she goes, grind it, and then she goes, turn it into goo, and like goo flies in. You guys, I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
It was
weird.
I was really uncomfortable
it was
doing
weird.
That.
Yeah.
Wait, did you tweet a gif of this?
I have a gif of it. Okay. My friends like sent it, and we're all just kind of like, can you believe they did this?
Yeah. Somebody has to post that online somewhere. Please, I would like to see that.
Like, I don't know.
There's a lot of stuff like that in the game, though.
Like, my body is ready.
Well, that's a Nintendo meme, but
yeah.
Oh, did they include that?
They did. Yeah.
Johnny come lately. Yeah. Come on. Okay. Cool. Well, let's move along then, JJ. Let's hear about your Final Fantasy 15 demo.
My road trip
experience.
To hell.
Your road trip.
I think I pushed more than I rode.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's a lot of pushing. So what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Continuing
pushing
on that Pokemon
guys,
thing. Yeah.
Did you grind it?
Oh,
JJ style.
Totally to you.
No. So what we're talking about is the Final Fantasy 15 Judgment Disc demo that came out last week.
Was that only in Japan, that demo?
Yes, it was only in Japan.
Huh.
What is the Judgment Disc?
So it's just a square.
It's not even a disc. It doesn't. Yeah. Don't ask.
Really?
Don't think about it too much.
Just be glad there's no numbers.
You'll get a nosebleed.
Do you remember?
We're talking about Final Fantasy.
Right.
Just be glad they're not asking you to do algebra.
Sometimes I forget, I guess.
Yes.
Okay, and you guys have both played the previous.
I did not play the previous. This is my first.
I played Duskgate. I played the one that came with Type-0.
Okay.
Well, I bought Type-0 for it.
Oh, I thought you said F-0.
No, Type-0. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So.
So this is my first experience with Final Fantasy 15, and one like big takeaway I have is that like I found myself comparing it a lot to Xenoblade Chronicles X, the game that we worked on, which it wasn't a perfect game by any means, but what it got right was this feeling of being in an open world, being able to go anywhere you wanted, having a very fun way to do so, and then just being full of life and things to do.
Yeah, giant sense of scale.
Yeah, sense of scale.
Felt alive.
Felt alive. The music kind of like drove you to where you wanted to go. It like really felt good to just go around an adventure. Yeah. And Final Fantasy 15 is like a open world RPG, but the open world has nothing in it.
Well, in the demo part.
Yeah, I think they specified that the demo had a lot of stuff cut out, but even if
I've read some impressions,
and
it's not just the demo.
I mean, why make a demo if your shit isn't in it?
Yeah, it's like there's.
Why make a demo that has everything in it?
Well, I mean, you don't really even see the enemies until you're right on top of them.
Mm, but to be fair, they haven't. As far as I know, they haven't pushed this game as like an open world game, though. Right?
Oh, they did.
They did.
They were like,
pushed
yeah,
as a road trip.
Yeah.
I mean, you're exploring
you
the world.
I think Final Fantasy is meant. I mean,
wait a minute.
Unfortunately, I think it's about the story. Though,
I'm
right?
not gonna let that fly. This is definitely an open world game. When you play it, it feels like an open world game. It's just a barren, boring.
So you said enemies
world.
Appear when you're on top of them. How
you're like
that
basically.
Work?
Well, I say that, but it's like you don't notice them from afar or anything like that. You'll like turn a corner and there will be like a couple of enemies, and you're like, okay, fight, and then it's over in 10 seconds. It's like a total mashathon, and then it's over. Hmm. And it just is like, you know, I found myself playing it for a while, so there was something there, but like it was definitely.
What are you doing
boring.
In the demo just to like start with the basics?
Your car breaks down and you've got to do quests to get money to pay to fix it.
Oh, okay. So it's part of that whole... I've seen different scenes
right.
of this.
But you fix the car pretty early on and then you're just doing more quests and there's like a little bit of story here.
So you with your like... You are the main character and you're
yeah.
with your three other dudes or whatever?
Your three best bodyguard friends who
best duders.
Live with you in a... Who live with you in your tent at your campground.
Are you going to... is this a bachelor party weekend? You're going to get married to...
It's not.
There was some contention
okay.
over
no,
whether
okay,
yeah. you
so
were
how,
engaged or
how
not.
How the demo starts,
we established
starts
that.
With Noctis talking to his dad. And his dad was like, you're on your way to get married.
How old is Noctis?
I don't care. No. Probably like 12 or something. Final Fantasy.
What's his blood type?
I'm going to guess AB because he seems like an asshole.
Oh.
Shot fired. All right.
But yeah, no, that's how the game starts. Like, you've got you and your three bodyguards, and he's taking you to whatever kingdom the princess is in.
Yeah.
To get married there. And then at some point during the game, like, that falls apart or whatever. And to look at a dress, obviously, that's there too. So
the dress?
Game starts,
the dress that I read about in the newspaper?
Yes. And as soon as you leave town, the car breaks. You push it. That's how the demo starts. And I mean, my thing with it, I mean, obviously the world felt kind of barren.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give it to their art team, though. Like, the entire thing, like, everything in the game is absolutely beautiful. The world is beautiful. Just traversing it sucks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
you can't jump up on anything or...
Yeah,
what
even...
sucks about traversing it?
Well, at the beginning of the game, since your car is broken, you can only walk. And you walk super slow. It's not like when you're in Xenoblade X and you've got that badass dash where you just hoof it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that jump.
You can barely jump. Good. Like, Noctis barely leaves the ground. They don't want you jumping.
It's
on
more
anything.
Realistic. Basically.
Sure.
It is. Except when when you zap across the field
until you,
like, wherever you want
to. Yeah, you throw a sword halfway across the map.
They just want you to do
that
instead.
Well, you can't. You can't do that except for very
specific places in the game.
And you don't know until you're, like, right there.
Huh.
But, yeah, like... You can't really jump on anything, and his run animation is terrible. He, like, runs like
he looks
a
really
Naruto
like,
guy.
He looks really, like, loose, kind of
like... He's, like,
looking, like his arms
it's, like, weird, and for some reason, he doesn't, like, run all the time. Like, you'll hold the run button down, and he'll just, like, stop running and be like, yep.
I mean,
he gets
tired. Yeah.
There's his stamina.
Dude, it's a fucking open world game. Don't give me that shit. And so, and you know, so you fix the car, and you can drive around in the car. And the car parts, you know, thought I would hate it more than I did. You basically can only drive on the street, and more or less, like, you can't really even drive.
What happens if you go off the street or try to?
It'll just write you back
on. So you need to follow basic road laws.
Well, not even that, really.
The first time it puts you in a car, it asks, like, do you want to do automatic or manual? And if it's automatic, I think your bro drives.
Yeah.
Like, you let him have the wheel. If it's manual, you take the car. You can only really accelerate or go back or do a U-turn.
Are you fighting things in the car?
No. So, like, you can even, like, you don't even need to
run enemies.
You don't need to touch the analog stick. It'll just, like, just hold down R1, like, you'll drive, it'll keep you on the road.
So what are you doing?
Nothing.
You're listening to music, and sometimes they'll talk about
that
bro
sounds kind of
sometimes Glady also, like, put out a book and then put it back.
So
basically it's a road trip.
Yeah.
So do we know 100% what section in the game, like the larger game?
It's got to be the very beginning.
The very beginning of the game.
It feels like the beginning.
Okay. Yeah. And how long is the demo?
It's pretty long. I played it for like 6 or 7 hours.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
JJ, I got bored after like 30 minutes.
Well, so I played it for a while and then Haruki started playing it. He actually liked it a bit, but after he started playing, I was like, okay, well, I need to go see what the rest of the demo is like. So I played some more and
wow.
Like I found myself just like running around the world looking for something to do, but you really there wasn't
there
anything.
Weren't any surprises. Like, did you ever find like a treasure chest?
There was
or...
like well, see the thing is like
In the game, the items that you pick up are super small. They're like 5 pixels. You can barely see them.
Is do they like glint or something?
Like they
glint.
Do, yeah, but like you can right you can them. Like barely tell. Like it's really ridiculous. But like I did find like one secret weapon. But like I had to just like scour the map up and down to find it.
Were there any enemies that like killed you? Did you have any challenges?
Is there a boss in the demo? Is there like an end to the demo?
There's like a secret boss. Okay. I didn't actually finish the demo. I'm sure there is something like that. But there's a day-night cycle. And the night time in this game is very like Dragon's Dogma, where it gets like really dark and really dangerous. Ooh. Which is cool.
Because you are out in the middle of nowhere, right?
You are out
there
in the middle of nowhere.
No light sources.
Yeah. And that part was probably the one good part. Like you got, there was like this really big, like ogre with fire and all sorts of stuff. And it was a really tough fight. The problem is, and maybe this is just the demo talking, but the combat felt really simplistic. The magic system was like really ineffective. You just like mash attack. And then when you see an enemy coming at you,
you
hit.
Need to mash. You can hold it.
That's right.
I mean, that's my biggest problem with the game is that I'm really bored when I'm playing, because combat is just, you have basically two buttons. You have an auto attack button, just hold it down, Noctis will just do his thing. And whenever you see somebody coming at you, you also have an auto evade button. So you're just switching, like when you see something
coming,
you just hold auto.
That's weird,
because
the earlier demo was very, like especially the final fight in the earlier demo was almost like a Devil May Cry thing, even. I mean, it
I don't remember
much
that way.
More action-packed, where you're fighting like in front of the building that looked like the Shinjuku like government building.
Didn't feel like that at all.
Basically, like, you have an MP meter, and it, when you dodge something, it automatically consumes a little bit of the meter, and that replenishes whenever you're not holding the button. So basically, you just hold auto attack until you see somebody attacking you, then hold evade, and they just stop holding.
That
and
sounds
you go back
like
to attack.
Pokemon Go battle.
Yeah,
just
kind of
like tap, swipe. Yeah.
And I mean, like the world was absolutely breathtaking, but like I'm really bored when I'm playing it.
Did
I'm not
try,
doing anything.
I know there's a wait. You can do the wait mode instead of active.
Yeah.
Did anybody try that? Was that possible?
I will say though, so like my final, like when I walked away from this demo, I was like, wow, that made me, that like reminded me a lot of White Knight Chronicles.
Huh.
Like it's the same kind of stale.
In terms of how the combat
boring.
Felt or how
no,
the
just
game
in
general felt?
Yeah, just in general, the game itself just felt like really bland.
Was the localization amazing like it was in White Knight Chronicles?
It was only
Japanese.
It was in Japanese, but there were some lines where there's some bad dialogue even in the Japanese.
The Japanese is always has bad dialogue in Final Fantasy games. Well, in the last few years anyway.
Well, story and characters, anything that grabbed your interest?
Sid was very out of place. I guess.
Sid or Sydney?
Sydney.
Sydney. Isn't her dad
Her dad
Sid?
Sid.
But they changed her name in the English version.
So.
It's like Sisney or something. I don't know. But, I mean, you know, the characters, I didn't hate them as much as I thought I was going to.
They feel like your bros?
Lady Oldless.
I don't think I have one, but maybe Prompto because he's the worst. He's like the one that like
that's a stupid opinion.
He's like the runt who everybody obviously just like has around because they needed the fourth guy.
Okay. Your weapon boy.
Are you gonna play it, Mark?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it really will depend a lot on if I even try it. Depend on how. What kind of reaction it gets.
Yeah, I'm going to buy it because like, I feel like I need to do this for me.
Mine's your own road trip.
You played the demo for 6 or 7 hours. That's to me that, I mean,
I feel like there is something there. So, you know, and if it sucks, I'll just sell it within a week and be done with it.
I'm skipping it. The Last Guardian comes out the next week.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the tough part.
So I got to choose. I'm
excited for that. I do like that it is going to use the Pro, the PS4 Pro.
I'd like to see what it looks like on that.
And I do think the graphics in it are like pretty
phenomenal.
Amazing. Like some of the stuff that I've seen. So I kind of even just want to see the graphical showcase.
Just
but.
Okay. There's some very buggy graphical stuff in that
I
game.
I expect them to patch that out.
Maybe that's why
it
was delayed.
To be a day
fixing
one
that stuff.
Yeah, it's a pretty
7 gigs
or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I love how they fucking delay the game because they want the people who don't have internet connections who just buy the game to have a pure experience like everybody else. And then there's like a 7 gig day one patch anyways.
Right. Well, yeah. I wonder how bad it would have been if they hadn't.
I mean, how does it matter? After 7 gigs, it's like, what is
if
it?
If all the bugs that people found in the demo is any indication?
Yeah.
If that had come out like before.
If you can actually get to an ending and see credits, like that will be an amazing achievement to me that the game actually was completed. So, you know, I'm going to give it a try.
I mean, it was
I feel like it just has to, like, I just need to know that it's bad.
Or
so I can move on.
I'm bummed to hear this because, like, I kind of, I mean, part, I, you know, people, I think, want to shit on this game, and rightfully so, because they, you know, 13 was garbage. But, like, you know, I still want to give it a chance, even in spite of what you guys are saying. So I'm going to play it.
We'll like, it feels like a lot of, like, it kind of feels like the 10-year dev cycle, and you can kind of see it where there are, like, some clear good ideas, but that aren't fleshed out well enough. Mm-hmm. Like, the open world probably should have been something that they were working on from the beginning, but it seems like they just kind of made it at the end, and we're like, okay, let's try and make this work. You know, I don't know. It, like, feels like a little half-assed.
I hope they make a real sequel to this and not do some, like, 15-2 and 15-this and 15-that.
Well, I don't know. Like, I mean, apparently the sequels to 13 were really well-received.
No.
No. Yeah, weren't they, like,
here's the problem, though. The problem is, like, it's going to... I will be... If I play through this game and actually get to the end, it will be a miracle if I actually like those characters, because I think they're horrible characters. They're obnoxious. They have the worst names ever. They sound like
diseases.
Well, maybe 15-2
like... will be the bachelorette party, John, or something totally
different.
Well,
what I would rather have is just put this world away. We've been stuck thinking about it for 10 years already. I'm tired of it. Like, let's... Remember when Final Fantasies were new and different every time, and they were fresh, and it was exciting? And like, that's what they need to desperately get back to.
Maybe they'll do, like, a Metal Gear Solid 2 to us, where we think it's about these guys, and then that's
there
just the prologue.
If
and then
they kill
the
them off
it,
in the first 2 hours, I would be really happy.
It's all about the girl in the dress.
Car accident. Smash.
Yes. You become the dress.
Cut to the next thing. let's move on, Roy. What else have you been playing these last couple weeks?
So yesterday was a day off, and I downloaded the Tomorrow Children, and I played it, like, all day.
Oh, okay.
All day.
What made you try that?
Well, it was, for a while, it was like, you know, it's a free-to-play game.
Right.
But for a while, it was like, well, we want you to give us $20, and we'll give you a bunch of stuff free-to-play. But then, just recently, it went totally free-to-play. So I just downloaded it.
Who makes this? Why, this is like...
Q Games.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, when they say, now it's totally free, do they give you the thing that used to cost $20? Or what's the difference?
Well, the difference is you have to earn it. You have to earn all that stuff.
You used to not be able to earn it. Now you can earn
well,
it.
They would just give it to you, like, right out of the
It's
out
like
of the
a starter pack.
Yeah.
No, right, I know, but you said that it changed recently.
Yeah.
So what changed about that?
They just released a version where it's just the vanilla version of the game where you don't get...
It didn't start out as free-to-play.
So like, the thing that
it did start as free-to-play.
Yeah, it was always been free-to-play.
No, it
started,
was...
It started for pay, and then they went free-to-play.
Yeah, it was you had to pay $19.99 for the game, plus, like, this beginner's pack that, like, accelerates you. It's like this one item that unlocks the ability to buy a bunch of items in the game, which you have to work very hard to get.
Okay.
So it's a pretty substantial difference.
Okay, so describe it. Like, what's it like?
It's like if Animal Crossing is like capitalism, this is like communism simulator. So it's like it's a multiplayer game,
right?
But not like a straight MMO. It's like you kind of, it's almost like Dark Souls. You see, like, the wisps of people as they're doing things, and you're all contributing towards the same town, and your goal is to keep the town in stock of all the resources it needs, so that you can raise the population. You do this by, like, mining or like shaking trees to get fruit out of it. So it's like, it is very, it really scratches that Animal Crossing itch. Visually, it's like, I really like the way it looks. Like, the textures, the lighting, it's really nice.
Yeah, they did a lot of, like, special graphical stuff with their, like, that doll style and
kind of looks like
claymation style.
So the story is, like, the whole world was destroyed somehow, and you're in, like, some simulation where you're trying to rebuild it. You pick, like, a town, and there's, like, millions of them. They're basically, like, servers. And you have a hub that you add on to.
So you pick a town, your friends could pick the same town, theoretically?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And then around the town, some distance away, there'll be these islands that appear. And there's, like, public transit system. You take a bus out to that island.
Right.
If you tried to walk there, you would just die, because there's, like, it's literally like an island. So I would say it's kind of like you would just drown. But what really happens is, like, you're in this, like, void that you can't survive in, so you have to take this bus, and it brings you out there. and then like the island, a lot of times they look like these weird, like, Soviet era sculptures. The fun part is, this is like what made me be like, man, No Man's Sky, if they just went a little bit further with the mining, it could have been a lot of fun. Because this is like, the sculptures, sometimes they go really high up. And you have to kind of, like, work your way up to get the really good stuff. And you can help other people.
You mean to mine off of the sculptures?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, like, you can like, dig holes in it. You can, like, set ladders to help other people get up it.
Hmm.
And then, like, if you dig into it, you can find treasure chests and various ore. And then the goal is to get it back on the bus, which will bring it back to town, where you can put it in the designated areas to get the resources.
And then do you get points, or what do I get individually? Mm.
Yeah, like everything you do, you get a little bit of EXP.
Okay.
They call it something else. It's like comrade coupons or something. But
and then when you're gaining EXP, am I gaining levels, and then am I getting loot that I can show off to other people? Or kind of what is the, what's the, like, the loop?
Loop, yeah.
The loop, okay, so well, the loop is to complete a town. Once you get a town...
Well, no, no, no.
Oh,
the loop
character
would, completing the town would be the goal. But yeah, the loop... Like, in Destiny, the loop would be you go out, you kill stuff, mm-hmm, so that you get loot, so that you put it on, or you turn stuff in, you gain levels, so you can wear better armor and weapons.
Right.
And then you can show off
so very
your armor
capitalist
and weapons
then
to your, yes, friends. Yeah.
So, well, I guess it's basically... I mean, there's different ways you can play, but the way I mostly play is go to one of these islands...
Mm-hmm.
Gather shit until you can't care anymore, mm-hmm, deposit for the bus, and then at a certain point you'll either die from, like, enemies that are in the on the island,
mm-hmm,
or you'll, like, fall to your death and it just happens, and then and then get back on the
right,
bus,
a tough life,
and repeat. Yep. But when you when sounds... you do level up, you can raise certain attributes and
right, so like, and when I walk into this world and I'm brand new, mm-hmm, and I see you and you've been playing for 2 months, let's say, or whatever, yeah, like, are you going to be wearing, like, cool hats and stuff? Are you going to be running, yeah, super fast? Like, what am I going to see and be like, oh, man, that's awesome, I want to do that.
Yeah, there's different outfits. Stuff. There's outfits give you different benefits stat-wise.
Hmm.
Like, there's something like 5 or 6 different stats. They affect how much damage you do with weapons, how quickly you run, how much EXP you get.
Okay.
Things like that.
So people don't specialize. There's not, like, a combat class and a what everybody's kind of... The well, same, no. It's just you have different attributes.
How you allocate your attributes when you level up would decide kind of your specialization.
Oh, cool, you get to attribute, you get to parcel those out yourself.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm kind of thinking I'm going to focus on, like, damage dealing, because one of the big things that happens in the game to your town is, like, these kaiju appear, and they kind of, like, wander around the map.
Yeah.
And mostly when your town gets really big, they start to attack you,
right?
And then you have to use these, like, ballista type weapons to kill them before they get there, or, like, try to take them out while they're
so there's, like, a little bit of a tower
ship
defense, sort of, like, you're protecting your town from these big,
yeah,
bad guys,
protecting, like, they usually just traipse through it and then you got to repair everything.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's very dystopian, like, you don't
but you can kill them.
It feels
aggressive.
Yeah.
Good, like, yeah, combat class, you have that skill.
I need
high.
A good, yeah, game to make me feel depressed.
But it is also kind of nice, because maybe it's different in America, but in Japan, I think that there is kind of a good communistic nature here.
Speedy so, core.
Yeah, so, like, you know, there's this thing you can do whenever you see one of those wisps of another player, you can, like, cheer them on, and it just gives them a little bit of free XP.
Oh,
and they can
cool
do it back to you, so you can, like, while I'm waiting for the bus, it's just everybody's,
aww,
just, like, cheering each other on.
I want to play.
Okay. That's kind of
cool.
Yeah. That's a neat idea.
That makes me happy.
And does, yeah, it seem like there's a bunch of people playing? Like, there's,
yeah,
a lot of people on your server, and...
Yeah, there's a lot of servers.
Cool.
I've been working on this one town, like, I worked on, like, all yesterday, and it's doing pretty well, so I think...
Can you move to different towns?
You can.
Oh, okay.
You can go to, like, they're organized based on, like, how well they're doing as far as resources or residents and stuff,
mm-hmm,
so you can go to, like, ghost towns where, like, it's just you're really gonna have your work cut out for you, and
okay,
it's kind of cool and spooky to go to those, because, like, there's no power, so it's all dark.
Oh, wow. You have to, like,
oh, yeah,
set up
thing
power and stuff.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Darkness is a thing that kills you. So whenever you go into a mine, if you, like, dig too far, you'll die. So you have to bring, like, a light source with you.
Oh, right. I did hear about that part.
Yeah. So, like, sometimes I'll bring a flashlight with me, and I'll just, like, put it down while I'm mining. But they have, like, a set amount of charge.
Right,
so
right.
I could go out and I could just die. Or somebody else could pick it up and, like, run away.
Oh, really?
And then I'll die.
So it's did you get any of that, griefers? While
I did
playing
that to someone by accident.
Oh, a free flashlight.
Yeah, Roy.
You, Roy.
I'm sure he didn't think it was an accident.
Yeah. Wow, so you're going to keep playing, it sounds like.
I think, yeah, I'm pretty into it right now. It'll probably be, like, my game to tide me over until 15 comes out.
Oh, okay. All right. Next couple weeks.
Nice.
Anybody playing anything else? Graham, you're playing...
What's up?
You're playing some mana.
Yeah, Legend of the Holy Sword 3.
So you can Densetsu 3, I the am, fabled,
yeah.
not released
the one that
outside
got away.
Of
yeah.
Japan.
Yeah.
Which, I correct me if I'm wrong, but you could not play that one three-player,
correct,
right?
Yeah, only two-player.
Yeah.
For some reason, they took that out.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
weird.
It is a bummer. And, I mean, the graphics are amazing on
Fantastic.
It.
Fantastic.
But I think
every time
of...
I see bosses, like, I wonder how they even get this to work on the Super Nintendo.
But a lot, I think most people kind of seem to put it as a step back from Seiken Densetsu 2, from Secret of Mana.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Can be, I mean, it did, you
kind
know,
of like a weird sidestep. Like a
it enhanced
backward.
On the formula in a lot of ways. I mean, it gave you a whole lot more freedom. I mean, for example, like, instead of the fixed three-character party in Secret of Mana, now you can have six characters. You pick the three that you want.
Uh-huh.
They have different classes. So when you hit level 18, you can class up, then you can class up again later. So you have a lot of variety even within those six.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for that
what
same
about the
reason,
combat?
Combat is, like, it's different. Like, it, the only real difference is the charge meter. Like, you know how, like, if you... In Secret of Mana, you have all these different weapons.
Right.
And any character can equip any of these weapons. And as you use it, that levels up. You can use different charge attacks with that weapon.
Right.
All the way from 1 to 8.
Yes.
And so instead of that, your character now has a fixed weapon that they use. And charge attacks are handled differently. So you're not... I thought this was a really bad part of Secret of Mana, where if you want to charge something up to level 8,
yeah.
you hold down the attack button, and you're holding it for, like, a good 30 seconds, if you want to get all the way up to level 8.
Yeah, it's risk-reward.
In Seiken Densetsu 3, what you do is, as you hit an enemy, you get more little points. And when you reach different points, you have your level 1 skill, level 2 skill, level 3 skill. And those skills are also different depending on what class you picked. And then from that, you can, you know, unleash your special attack. And that's pretty cool, too. So, I mean, depending on what you're looking for, I think the combat is probably better.
Really?
Yeah, in Seiden 3, but...
Seiden 3, listen to you.
Both of them towards the end kind of turn into like magic fests where you spend most of your time in a menu.
Yeah.
Like you're always just hitting the X button, bringing up your ring menu, and then choosing a spell you want to do. So in the beginning, it's a lot more fun, but towards the end, you're just spamming spells.
Does it use
either
the
one.
Ring UI system?
Yeah, yeah.
In 3? Okay,
yeah.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
So you're playing Japanese, obviously.
I am, yeah.
How is the story?
It's good.
Really?
I mean, I'm playing a...
I don't even know if I'd say Secret of Mana had a good story.
Oh, I thought it was, you know, it's a story of a boy discovering himself, saving the world.
Oh, story yeah, of well, a CD game that turned into a cartridge and
yeah.
nothing made any sense.
No, I mean, another thing, I mean, people can sort of poke fun at the plot because since you have six different characters, they basically have three different plot lines. Where depending on which of, you know, pairs of characters you pick, you fight different bosses towards the end.
Mm.
And so, you know, each character has their own... Basically, every character goes through their own Greek tragedy at the start. Everybody has this awful thing happen to them and they, you know, go out on their journey.
Mm. Does anyone have something that's just, like, it's only kind of bad?
Yeah, no, actually, for most of them, it's great. Like, they always have, like, a loved one die. Their
yeah.
entire kingdom is ruined. And then you have Kevin, who's a wolfman. His dog dies.
Kevin fucking the wolfman.
Kevin.
He just has a dog.
His dog
Kevin.
Dies, and he buries it, and is like, I'll never forgive you.
Like this, so there's no, like, I lost my pet rock.
What are you playing this on?
I'm playing this on Super Famicom.
Oh, so you're playing
Yeah, I'm playing on the cartridge.
Super Famicom.
Yeah, and I got it hooked up to my Framemeister, hooked up to my
HDTV. Nice.
Yeah.
Where'd you pay for that cartridge? Where'd you find it?
Oh, I just bought on Amazon for, like, $10.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
box
yeah.
and everything?
Box and everything, yeah.
Damn.
It was great, and it was fun, because since you pick six characters, I was sitting there at the title screen, like, I always pick Kevin. I love Kevin. He's got such a low-stakes battle to fight.
Have you played this before?
I did. I played it for the first time when I was, like, 13.
Oh, wow.
I played, like, the J2E fan translation, on ZSNES or whatever.
Yeah.
So I threw, a picture of the title screen in the work chat, and I was like, guys, pick my characters.
Mm.
Then the very second, like, there are six characters, I only don't like one. There's like this tiny girl
yes.
named Charlotte, and I don't. She's the only
yes.
character in the game I don't like. The second I post the picture, Roy Zinn's like
Roy
bottom
Chan,
middle.
Yes,
bottom middle. That one right there. So she's my she was my main.
Oh,
my
you
main
stuck
girl.
To it. Nice.
Yeah.
How far are you into it?
I'm almost done. Like in the game, there are eight elemental spirits you have to find, and then you fight the eight elemental beasts. So I'm on the seventh.
Spoiler.
I found the seventh spirit. So after this, like I find Dryad, the eighth one. Then it's like a boss rush.
So how long have you played it? What's your
like 7 hours in?
That's it?
I mean the game. I mean like Super Nintendo RPGs. Like I mean 15 hours is like whoa good.
yeah.
Except for Final Fantasy 3/6, they were mostly like kind of on the brief side.
Really?
Yeah.
Four and five were pretty.
Four
long,
and five
were
like
they?
20 each. You're probably remembering
yeah,
20, them as
20.
You're probably remembering. Yeah, but I mean
20 is not seven.
Seiden 3. No. I mean
you're gonna finish in like 10 like, hours.
12, 13?
Oh.
Like, I think that's a pretty decent length for... that's like what Crouch
about right.
Was. Yeah.
That was Square in their, like,
prime.
Their, like, perfect era where, like, everything
never
they put
missed
out
a beat.
Was awesome.
Even their, like, relatively garbage stuff, like Treasure Hunter G was like, this is pretty good.
Yeah. Sad.
No
and then Masa picked my
trips.
Other character.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Masa was also really quick on the draw. He had a favorite.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who
so
was
Lise,
that?
Lise, the Amazonas.
Oh, okay.
What was her tragedy that happened to her?
There's a whole bunch of ninjas who come in and they kill her dad. And they take her kingdom from her. So ninjas, she has pretty high stakes.
Ninjas kill her dad.
Kevin, on the other hand.
Speaking of ninjas, I was playing Ninja Gaiden on the Nintendo. I got the NES and the Famicom minis.
Ninja Gaiden. Hi-ya!
That's the Wizard. Is it the theme guys. Song? The Lost theme song?
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's from the Wizard.
Where are we going here, JJ?
From Video Armageddon.
Harder or easier than you remember?
Harder because the controls are not as good. Like, I need to play it on a CRT. When you're playing on it, it is definitely true. Playing on anything on HDTV from that era, like, is just you're just 10% worse than you used to be because, like, it's not perfectly. Like, I used to be able to, with NES pad on a CRT, like, I would just be like, I'd be jumping all over the place doing exactly what I wanted to do without having to think about it.
Right.
Now I have to think about it, and that makes it less enjoyable. It's still a great game, but, like, I feel like I don't want to play old games on HDTV. Like, I need to play them on a real CRT.
So, are you playing on the Famicom Mini or your NES Classic?
I tried both. In the end, I think I prefer the NES one. The bigger controller is just a little bit nicer. Yeah. It still feels a little weird, though. The controller doesn't feel, I don't know.
The NES one?
Yeah.
The Famicom one. Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Those controllers are not good.
Well, I mean, you know what I realized, though?
They're the exact...
That's what I'm saying. The NES controller was like, it hurts to hold it, so...
You can actually use the Super Nintendo controller that came with the Club Nintendo reward as well. So I never took mine out of the box.
The hoardy one.
I don't want to, but I could if I needed
to. Like plugged into the Wii.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, that's kind of cool.
It's good that you're playing the NES one, though. The man's version of the game.
It is a lot harder on the NES. Way harder on the NES.
Is the like the cable lengths of anything bothering you?
Yep. It's too short. Yeah. It's absolutely too short. So I basically have like... So my thing was, I'll just get a long HDMI cable, but that's not enough because the plug that powers it also needs to be long.
Yeah.
Because you need them both to be like able to reach to your sofa.
Unless you power it via wherever. USB and just power it off your laptop or something.
That is something I could try, I guess. Yeah, that just seems weird to me.
That's a really crazy
game system off of like, yeah. But
set up for
welcome
just
to 2016, baby.
Yeah. But it's nice that the emulation is so good. And like that aspect of this whole thing makes me very hopeful for Switch. I hope Virtual Console on Switch, because Wii U Virtual Console is kind of crap.
Yeah.
Wii was great and Wii U's kind of
Well, that is a good segue into our break, because when we come back we have pretty much the only news we have is Switch news.
It's the end of the year, so there's not going to be a lot.
Yeah. So stick around and we'll be back with some news. Back with the news. Get the Switch, Michael!
Sorry.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I get it.
The Jackson, Jackson 5 movie?
It's kind of dark, yeah.
All right.
Does he get the Switch?
A made-for-TV movie. He like told the kids to go get a Switch because he was going to beat them with it.
I was looking more for...
The Switch is a stick, by
a
the
good,
way.
A good
for
relation.
For the news, so I'll just throw that in there. Yes, so a steady stream of, we'll call them leaks and or rumors, yeah. But these have been pretty goddamn spot on up until now. Dollars to donuts. There
what
are
is going on
a lot
there?
Of people,
Europe, man.
A
Europe.
Lot of people at NCL and I'm sure NOA and maybe even one or two at Nintendo Europe like, hey, what the hell? Like, why does everybody know everything?
Either that or they're like intentionally they want it all out, because how do you not stop something?
I mean, yeah,
like
kind of ridiculous with all the leaks
if they're all correct. Crazy. But I mean, the first one is this happens a lot of times too, the GameStop CEO blunder, which
what did he say
happens every once in a while. So GameStop CEO Paul Raines suggested during I guess it was probably an earnings call that Nintendo Switch may have some kind of motion controls.
I feel like someone on this podcast called that the little...
Yeah, we talked about that.
Well, as, I mean,
of course
you
can have motion controls. Like,
yeah, it's
100%.
They never demoed that, so that
no,
was...
and a lot of people were speculating, though, like from
the Joy-Cons.
Before. Yeah, that was part of the rumor, right? The initial, like, Eurogamer story, I think,
was
might
it?
Have had
Maybe,
that.
I don't remember. Yeah,
I don't want that, though.
Anyway,
like, who cares?
His quote...
It's going to have that. It's going to have a touchscreen. It's going to have all that crap people are, like, questioning for some
reason. It's going to have everything.
So... quote is, the Switch is a very interesting device. A movement-related game is more fun for kids, you know, taking those Joy-Con controllers off, and then the Master Controller, you can really do a lot of things, blah, blah, blah. Basically, yeah. It sounds like he kind of let slip accidentally that something Nintendo hasn't announced yet, but that the Joy-Con controllers could...
Why are they called Joy-Con?
Because they bring joy. That, like, to people through control.
No, it's because it's a joystick controller, Joy-Con. Mm.
There you go, there's
a Japanese thing.
But anyway, that those, when they're separated, those little, I mean, they're a little smaller, it looks like, than a Wii remote, but you can imagine how they can be used the same way.
Yeah.
That those might have motion controls, which I guess would probably imply that the main unit has a camera built into the front of it.
It's got to have that, too. Right? It has to have a camera. Like, right? I don't, just, yes. Okay.
So, also from the story, and that was like added to the story later. This is from the GameSpot version that I'm reading from. Thank you to them and Polygon and anybody else we got our news from this week.
A few people that I can't remember. Sorry, guys.
Okay. Kotaku was on there. So the other interesting part of that call was, you know, of course, GameStop is going to. It's in their interest in being bullish on any new system, but. You know, he did throw out some facts and figures to kind of back it up. So he was also saying that, you know, I played the Switch at Nintendo a few weeks ago. We believe it could be another game changer that will expand the audience for gaming. And then he went on to expound that, like, they have this power-ups, GameStop power-up reward member thing that they pull, membership pool that they pull, I guess, regularly, and 27% of them are aware of the Switch, who are aware of it, plan to buy the console, and that kind of lines up with Xbox One at a similar point in time. They were pointing out. So,
good for a Nintendo system.
Yeah, and again, this hasn't been fully been revealed. They haven't even officially announced any games for it.
Except for Zelda.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. You know, and obviously they showed some in that announce, one of them being Skyrim. Which, you know, after being part of the announcement, Bethesda was kind of poo-pooing.
I can't believe they, like, didn't confirm or deny it. Yeah. Like, saw your game on the Switch. Right.
Yeah, I think it was a matter of they didn't have official marching orders yet from Nintendo. Sure. Like, hey, yeah, you can announce it. And so it's like, yeah, it's obviously coming, but we're not going to officially confirm it.
I don't think I'm going to play Skyrim on that, though. I thought about it. Like, I do actually want to play HD Skyrim because, again, that was one of those games that I intended to finish and didn't, but I think I'll just play it on PS4.
I feel like
I'm going to spend time on a Switch. I want to play new stuff. Yeah. Or, you know, I don't know, Switch stuff.
I feel like those kind of games are going to be great for the Switch, but I don't make me play an Elder Scrolls game.
That's
a different problem.
Let's not get into
on the other hand, though, those games are massive, massive time sucks. So,
sure,
like,
to be able to take it on. No, it
definitely massively suck. It is the kind of thing you'd want to bring on an airplane or something like that. Anyway, towards this, Todd Howard, what's his title exactly? Director and executive producer at Bethesda. Very enthusiastic about it. I love it. I got to play it. I will tell you, maybe that's an NDA thing, but one of the best demos I've ever seen, he said. Probably the best demo I've ever seen. And this was at E3. So they were showing people the Switch at E3, which is interesting. Press for details. He said that the demo of the hardware, not any particular game, is what impressed him. I think it's really smart what they're doing. We're definitely going to be supporting it. So I guess he said it's the same Sky. They basically are confirming Skyrim, and it's the same game on the TV and the other screen. He said on the go. So
whoops! Oh hello!
Ding! We can do that after every news story. next news story: Mario and Skyrim Switch at launch, Splatoon pack in, no March Wii U Zelda. This is we'll call it a rumor, I guess, a report by Laura Dale.
Who has been really
spot she's got a lot of
on
stuff.
A lot of this stuff. Yeah. So let's see. Basically talking about that Breath of the Wild would not be at launch and instead be summer. I think she followed up this later with a
June.
date.
Someone is saying June. Yeah. Something middle of June now.
And in that week, worldwide. Surprise me.
Not at all. I don't.
It never seemed like they were going to be shooting for the launch.
Well, I would disagree. And here's the two reasons why. Okay. One is because, you know, this from before when it was even announced, everybody was saying that this was following the same pattern as Twilight Princess with the Wii, right?
That's true.
That it was announced for a previous system, right. That it was going to be held
launched
back.
A new one.
So, and the other reason, this is part of, I guess, kind of the same reason, but launching a Wii U game in June of 2017, 3 months after the Switch has launched,
6 months after the Wii U is dead.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, like 2 years after sure. The Wii U is dead. Like, at that point, it's like so clearly we said we're gonna do this, so let's just like put it out there.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, they
it's
never like, they never said it was going to launch with it.
They
so
never
said,
I did they never, never do that, and they which never surprised me because it was such an it was such a strong assumption that right, I just sure. assumed, I think, as everybody did,
right.
that it would then be launched.
It's one of those things where like I feel like if it was the case, Nintendo would have said it there. That's why I never thought it was going to be a launch. It would have been.
Well,
nice.
I think they were playing it safe because they knew there was a possibility it wouldn't make a launch. But, I mean, I think this doesn't necessarily mean it's not ready. I think it could also be a very good sign that there's other launch games they want yeah. people to play. Like,
yeah.
if Mario is there on day one,
exactly.
you don't want to have Zelda and Mario on the same day. That's overkill.
I think that's what it is. Like, with the Wii, you know, they had Wii Sports, which they thought would be the killer app, but it was not a big tentpole franchise.
Right. And I think historically Mario has been the gateway drug to Zelda, but not the other way around. You're not going to launch Zelda and then expect people to buy a Mario game after that, I feel like. I feel like it's a much stronger argument to put the Mario game out first, have fun with the system, see what it's able to do,
yeah.
like enjoy
well,
it for what it is.
Mario game appeals to a way larger, I mean many, many times larger audience than a Zelda game does, even though this
right.
one is like super, super hyped. At the end of the day, at Walmart, like what sells way the hell better? It's a Mario.
Right.
I think
kids
who are into it.
But in the West, it's not a huge difference. So I'm talking about mainline Mario. I'm not talking about Mario Kart. That's for sure. But like when you're talking about the like Mario Galaxy and stuff, I don't know what they sold, but I don't think they sold like tons more than Zelda.
I mean,
right?
I think many
the same...
times over, two, three times.
I think it's because like parents are familiar with Mario.
Yeah,
like parents don't really know like Link or Legend of Zelda,
also,
but they
some
know
people
Mario.
Are like, oh, I, yeah, it's like a Zelda. It's like a big, like in-depth, deep game. That's not for me. Even if it would or wouldn't, and a Mario game like can kind of like appeal
right.
to anybody.
Well,
but, like,
I know they're also they're not like historic. They're not one to like you know follow the way things were before. But I do think there's something. I think like there was a clear time when launching with the Mario game meant something really big for your system
right.
and everything. And I think like, and not we're not talking about new Super Mario Brothers U or whatever. We're talking like a real new
right,
Mario
like a good
game.
New real Mario
yeah.
can have like a incredibly broad appeal.
Yeah.
Right, as a new really good Zelda, I think can have a bigger appeal than anything up until now too. But I would understand that they. You know, launch with the kind of lighter
right.
game than the big, heavy.
They've been talking about how they want to solve the problem of having a big launch and then nothing for months. And I think this is one way to give people a little bit, like,
yeah.
they, you know,
they
the
don't
carrot on the
this
stick.
This time, because they haven't put, you know, much out in the last year leading up to this.
Yeah.
And, like, two Christmases. I mean, they did have, you know, Mario Maker, but... last year, but if they don't do that this time, finally have a pretty steady drumbeat
yeah.
of games, like, then... Fucking, they're never gonna do that shit.
Well,
like,
considering they started, you know, consolidating their like dev teams, what like 4 years ago or something. Like, I think it's probably gonna be okay.
They
probably
better be,
got a
they
lot
better
of stuff
be stockpiling shit because this thing is going to need a
well,
steady drumbeat.
It would
of
be
games.
Weird to play Zelda in the summer, though. I feel like that's like a that's been a November game for like 15 years now.
It's gonna
or something.
Have to be a new tradition, man.
Link to the Past was a spring game, but that's
yeah.
the last time.
Well, maybe
like
maybe
that.
John, your new tradition will be playing Pokemon Stars or Sonic 2017.
No, not that last one. Don't worry.
Because there was a list here.
Yeah, this is good of other games. This is all again from Laura Dale. So take it with a grain of salt, but also take it with, you know,
everything
up
who
until now.
Who is her, like, inside person?
I bet she's not even a real person.
So, day
she's
one.
A real person.
Day one, 3D Prove Mario, it. The one shown in the trailer.
Yeah.
I kind of don't even want to say this out loud, but I'm going to.
Say something that rhymes with it.
Mario Rabbids RPG.
So, I'd like this just dawned on me today, but rabbits are minions, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're just white minions.
Yes.
But did rabbits come first?
Yes.
Yes.
Way. Yeah. Way,
if I worked at Ubisoft,
earlier.
I would be fucking pissed.
Why?
Because look at minions.
Yeah.
Because they're popular.
They're huge.
They're not making money.
The
those
thing about rabbits is they weren't for kids.
All right.
Yeah.
That's not a kid thing.
Okay, so let's take a little like sidebar here because there's.
Are you looking for it?
Yeah. There's a report that there's. That they are collaborating, Ubisoft and Nintendo.
This seems like the worst collaboration.
Let me get it out first. Okay. Let me get it out first. Rabbids and Mario crossover RPG for
just,
Switch.
It seems
launch
dirty.
Day.
It seems dirty. I don't.
My mouth.
I don't like it.
Yeah, like the words Mario and RPG are so beautiful, and then rabbits crossover. Like,
why rabbits?
Smashes
why not
into
Rayman?
The middle of it. And
maybe it is Rayman. Well, I mean, at least Rayman's like a platformer God. And not. I mean, he's offensive in the way that like European mascot characters are offensive.
Yeah. But rabbits game sold way more though.
Under the working title Mario RPG Invasion of the Rabbids. Oh.
Yeah,
that I mean, seems
who knows?
Like
maybe
developed
this is...
under the watchful monitoring of Nintendo. No, John, don't make it okay. Don't yeah. try to make it okay.
No, no, I was gonna say maybe this is just wrong information.
Okay.
It doesn't
okay.
exist.
Yes.
That's what I hope.
I will that soothing balm. Yeah. I will imbibe.
It's gonna be a recount.
For,
yes.
yeah, for me, it's
I
like
fucking...
it's like why stop there? Like put Cool Spot and the M&M.
Dude,
and,
yeah,
like,
but
just
you can kind of
be terrible
see,
character.
Like Ubisoft is so good about supporting Nintendo, especially early on in their systems, and like you could kind of see.
But why
it.
Would you soil yourself with that?
I don't know.
Why would you? I know they're trying to like bring Mario out and like put him in other games, but why that one?
Okay, so
they
should have
done the
wrong.
Just Dance crossover instead.
Don't. That's Just Dance. Of course, it's coming on its own.
Yeah,
that doesn't.
I mean,
need
that
to
that would probably
over.
Be better, to be honest.
Like the Mario DDR game.
You know what?
So, I like
you
just
don't
dance.
Have to
just
you can
dance,
ignore
Mario.
It. You could pretend it doesn't exist.
It's, you mean the rabbits
but
thing?
It's,
yeah,
because it's out
I don't
there.
Think
now.
I can
working on it. It's taking up their precious fucking time.
Well, I doubt they're working
apparently.
On it. I'm
well,
sure
that's
Ubisoft's
what the,
no, working.
Well, that's
on
what they're
it.
Saying.
So reading the reading the article, it sounds
eye.
Like Ubisoft is like the ones actually developing, and
right.
like okay. Nintendo's just like the dad looking over your shoulder,
yeah, I can't
scrutinizing
Nintendo
your every
would spend.
Movement.
Why rabbits?
I mean,
trust me, the guys at NCL probably feel the same way about rabbits as you do.
Then they wouldn't have done it though, man. Like they don't just like throw something over the wall when it's
like where is like the target audience? Because I feel like Nintendo Mario target audience is here, and then Rabbids is like across the
it
field.
Is literally it's Europe, right?
Yeah. It's
4 year olds, four and a
it
half
is
year
young
olds.
People. It's kids. Yeah. It's kids.
I was a kid when Rabbids
yeah,
came out, and
kids
I
Mario.
Hated them.
Yeah. Maybe they
had
really.
Hated
I mean, they are
taste,
terrible
because you have taste.
Yeah. All Thank right, you.
Order in the court.
Dang,
order
dang,
the court.
Dang. Splatoon port. Which has a parentheses pack-in, question mark.
That would be huge.
Mm-hmm.
Skyrim, debated by others, but insisted by her sources. And then Just Dance, that rounds out the day one stuff that
Yay.
She has down. First 6 months, Smash Brothers port, Bayonetta and Cloud amiibo on same day.
I hope it comes with all the
that
extra
makes
characters.
Sense.
Mm-hmm.
These all
those
make
amiibo
sense.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. These all make sense. Zelda Breath of the Wild, Switch Wii U, summer launch, demo in development, which is interesting. If that thing comes with a demo... If the,
yes.
the system or another game
nice.
Comes with a demo, they got to do that.
Even just the E3 demo
that would
probably
be really
make
smart.
People happy. But I don't
yeah.
think the Splatoon things make sense. I don't think you pack in Splatoon. Like
really?
I think in Japan you do.
Splatoon sold
say,
really
but,
well.
You, but, you're, but there's money to be made from Splatoon. Why would you pack in something that people
well,
are going
to buy? Because you want people to buy systems.
Yeah,
yeah but they, also, if the game's available, they're probably going to buy it anyway. Like
there's,
I don't know.
There's also money to be made from Splatoon after the fact.
That's
though,
true.
Right? Yeah. More so than a normal
Splatoon
game.
Could become like a free-to-play sort of thing. Yeah, that okay, that's a different...
I mean, it's already,
it
and they've
way.
Already made it, right? If it's a port, like, that's, like, kind of a cop-out in the first place. I will say, so a lot of this is worrying me from, like, the... I'm wondering if we're getting a shitload of, like, this new kind of, like, semi-port sort of
new
sort
of port. You
mean,
like, the Animal Crossing thing where they just kind of, like, slipped some shit in and they were like, don't you want to play this again?
No, not that, because that's
systems.
The same game. You don't have to buy it again.
That's
what I'm
true.
Talking about is another game, like Mario Kart again, like the Game of the Year edition, except
that's
now
true.
It's for Switch and it has something that
yeah,
there's no
but,
other way to get except mm-hmm. to buy the whole
it's,
new thing.
It's blurry about that, but it makes a lot of sense because not
right.
many people bought a Wii U mm-hmm. and
exactly.
there are some great-ass games. Like, if you have an
yeah.
audience that's going to, like, quadruple, like, it, that's actually... Many more people are going to be super happy about this than we are going to be sad about
but,
it.
But,
I mean?
But, right. But I'm talking about from my own perspective. So, like, if they're catering to this new audience at the expense of the people who bought their last system, where
that's,
it's like, oh, well, you're not
are,
getting dozens of
us.
You're getting like dozens.
They
you
should have an ambassador program for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, seriously. So, continuing on with the list.
That's not a bad idea. People who bought a Wii U should get some.
Yeah.
yeah.
Ambassador program.
Yeah.
First 6 months, Telltale Guardians of the Galaxy, very near launch date. day, weekly episodes leading up to the movie.
Whatever.
Mario Kart 8 yeah. port, minor additions, question mark. The Silver Case, random. Xenoblade X port, late summer.
I want that.
Awesome. Do it.
That would be cool. Yeah,
but I want to be able to move my save data, because I already put 90 hours of my life into that game. I
probably a little bit more than 90.
I know, right? I'm thinking about that,
okay.
too.
Okay, I mean, 90 hours into the save file.
I was going to say, 9,000 into the actual version.
I think you've lost a few years.
Mario Maker port, which also makes a whole lot of sense. And hopefully, like, some new Maker games at some point would be nice.
I want a Zelda Maker.
I want a Metroid Maker.
I want fucking Animal Crossing.
All of these.
I just want fucking Animal Crossing. I am
you're
so
for the for yourself.
I am so fucking thirsty for like an actual console Animal Crossing game.
Get the fucking
game.
DLC that just released like 2 weeks ago.
I want console. I don't want handheld. I want console.
You really
console.
Want fucking more Animal Crossing? Come on.
I do. Pour it on not me. I need
to,
it.
Not enough to spend what $40.
I don't know why, but I just get an image of like a family at a Thanksgiving like dinner table just like yelling at each other. That's what you sounded like.
In 2017, JJ, you mentioned Pokemon Stars. Initially slated summer, may have switched to autumn.
We actually called that. If you go back to the last episode, we were like, they'll probably do one on Switch and they'll call it Stars. Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. Sonic, something or other. Of course, duh. Pikmin Sonic. 4. Apparently, no longer called Pikmin 4. Now a Pikmin reboot coming autumn.
What? What happened to the 3DS Pikmin?
It's still coming out.
The gritty Pikmin reboot.
It's still coming out. Yeah, it's a platformer, though. I imagine this might be
You mean like how Chibi-Robo was a platform? Slitting my wrists over here.
2018, Beyond Good and Evil, not direct sequel, semi-reboot, Switch exclusive. Whoa. So
that's been a rumor for a while. Nintendo's like sort of funding the development on that. That's probably why they got Rabbids.
Oh, well, the Rabbids sweetheart deal.
Oh, no, please stop saying that word.
Rabbit.
No, stop.
So,
all right, let's be positive.
Maybe that was it.
Price speculation.
It's like, we'll fund Young and Evil 2.
Price speculation.
But only if you make Rabbids.
UK retailer game. this is also like a leak and a speculation, but that they would price it at $199.99. Pounds,
which is like $20 now, right?
Which is about what a current, a little bit under. Well, apparently, there might be also a bundle at $249.99, featuring a game and more internal storage.
Wasn't that one Splatoon? That maybe. Was a game they were like teasing about featuring.
Maybe. But anyway, that lines up about with the price of a PS4 or an Xbox One bundle. So.
Yeah, $249 is like what I was thinking it was going to be. So
a $299, that could be anywhere in like a $249 to $299.
I feel like
range.
That's a sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
I think the sweet spot is fucking $199 for that thing.
I think it's
getting
too cheap.
Some Wii numbers.
I don't know.
Well, it's too cheap if you're Nintendo. If you're the fucking customer, it's a sweet spot.
Oh, sure.
Sweet spot is fucking cheap as you can get it, man.
I'd be worried about how powerful it was if it was that cheap.
Yeah, personally. Good point. So I mean, it's. It's we kind of do we kind of know how powerful it is?
Not
like
really.
Is anybody assuming that it's any more powerful than a
no?
Well, I think that's why they showed Skyrim on it, right? Because Skyrim was known as one of those games that like you needed a lot to run it. So when you could like run it on your PC at full graphics, it was like, oh man. So for Nintendo to show it on the Switch was kind of like a signal.
It's not going
to
be weak.
Skyrim on a
but like
PS3.
Will it look good? And it looked good on the Switch.
Yeah.
I think it'll be like probably you know
it looks Skyrim good.
Yeah, I mean it looks like it could be between a PS3
haters.
And a PS4 or a PS4 and like,
I think
a little bit.
I think it's gonna be. I mean, it's probably definitely
probably definitely
sub PS4, but better than I think a bigger jump from bigger than from Wii to Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
I hope so.
If it's
hopefully
if it's. If it's sub PS4, that fucking thing better be. I want that thing at $199. I want that thing at $199. But
it's so small.
Anyway,
I think the thing is like the handheld portion.
Yeah.
The handheld or TV is what you're really paying for.
Yep.
Speaking of Wii U being dead, it's I guess actually
really
going
dead.
To officially be dead. Like Nintendo poo-pooed this at first, and then like 2 days later was like, "Yep, nope, it's for real." Basically that. Production of the Wii U was officially ending. So hoard your controllers now, folks, because third parties are not going to be able to make those. And in, I don't know, 20 years when it's one of the systems with the, I mean, relative fewer.
Right about when I'll be retiring, I'll have my Wii U and be like, hey, kids,
sell it for parts.
But don't let them break the controllers.
Yeah.
Because you're never getting that back.
Yeah. Mine is broken twice. and it's
mine
it's
is not
tough.
Broken.
But. So they when they announced this, they were saying as of today, this is earlier this month, all Wii U hardware that we made available in the North American market for this fiscal year has already shipped to our retail partners. They just said that it was going to be ending production in, quote, the near future. So, yep, if you want one, I don't know, buy it in the next 5 years, I guess. Yeah. Doesn't really mean much. Super Mario Run hits the iPhone, iPad, December 15th.
Yes.
$9.99.
What?
Yep.
There's a free version.
Paid app.
There's a free version.
Seriously?
Yeah. That's there's ridiculous. Like a trial version that you can just
back
pay.
Back in the day, people paid money for video games.
Yeah, but like...
There's a trial version, but that's just like a demo, basically, right?
Yeah.
It's not a like...
Well, that's
it's
why it's a trial.
Right.
So.
Well, okay, but when you say it's like there's a free version or whatever, it's not like a lot of...
I mean, I'm sure you could just continuously... play. It's a mobile game.
You could play
it's
the one
It's a running
stage.
Mobile game. Just continuously play that free trial version.
It's a Mario game.
I bet it's going to be really
$10
good.
Is no, cheap for a new fucking Mario.
Well, get over it.
People will play it as much as they
I wouldn't use that argument. I don't think there's anything wrong with it being $10, but I wouldn't call this a new Mario. This
is
like
a new Mario.
I need to see the game before I say if it's worth $10,
the way they
I
describe
guess,
it, they're like, you run and you jump, and I'm like... Flappy Bird?
I mean, it's a new Mario in the same way that like Mario Golf is a new Mario or something. It's not like a Mario Mario.
Yeah.
It's like a, it's a running.
It's a
game.
Platformer,
but whatever. It should be good. It should. It looks.
It's not
it looks
on
fun.
Android,
skill-based
so
platformer.
I'm not gonna get it.
Oh, yeah, that's too bad.
Whatever. No, I don't want it. I'm not fucking paying $9.99 for a mobile game.
Yeah, for real.
It's Mario.
You entitled fucking kids, man.
I'm not.
Mario.
Let's wait till
Mario
we see the game.
Mario has impressed our generation.
We've seen it. Let's wait till we see the game.
We've seen it.
Like how robust it is. Because for $10, what I've seen does not fucking look.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
As a cell phone game,
I'd pay $10 for an Animal Crossing game on my phone.
I think this is an experiment.
You might have to.
Just as everything they've put, we didn't talk about this on the pod. No, we didn't.
Like
just everything like we put out
is an experiment.
On,
not all experiments are good.
I'm
going to
take your mic away, young lady. I think that you know, Miitomo was an experiment to see how those kind of things work, and you know, this is going to be an experiment to see how paid apps work, and then Animal Crossing, if it's how it's rumored, you know, it's going to be an experiment to see how tying into console games work. Everything for them on mobile is an experiment right now. They probably even think $10 is a lot, but if they sell, how big is the audience of iPhone owners? It's like. Hundreds of millions of people, right?
Yeah.
If they sell to like 1% of those people, they're still going to make a shit ton of money. Like, it's definitely targeted, you know, experimentation. I feel like, and I think they're going to succeed.
I mean, I hope they do succeed just purely from a like. I would like there to be a like. It sounds weird to call a $10 game like a premium paid app thing, but that would be. A market for that kind of thing. A bigger market, I should say. I mean, some games do sell for that, especially Japanese games sell for over that. But anyway, speaking of Pokemon, Ditto is now available on Pokemon Go. You guys are still playing that, right?
No.
I played when that came out. I played it for a couple of minutes.
Did you catch a Ditto?
No.
Dead game.
Yeah. How many are you at now, John? That's the last of the original 151, I think.
No, the
birds are
the
legendary.
There's lots more.
Oh, I'm sorry, non-legendary Pokemon.
Wait, but so is they just added one new Pokemon?
That's right, Roy. Yeah. Breaking news.
And it was a secret.
Breaking news, Roy.
You had to get
slow
a bird. What was the bird? Pidgey? Pidgey. You had to get a Pidgey.
It was a Pidgey or Rattata.
Pidgey or Rattata.
All those fucking Pokemon that you don't want to catch.
You know, it's funny that like when I was doing it, there was not a single Pidgey or Rattata anywhere nearby. I was like Psyducks and...
Rattata.
Yeah, whatever.
Rattata.
Right. I just think of the 80s metal band.
Pokemon Go revised nearby features rolling out.
But it still sucks.
Oh, for real?
It still sucks. No, Roy, it still sucks.
It's not coming out here, I'm sure.
But Roy, why did you... So you just completely like gave up on this?
Yeah, I mean, they're not adding things. They're like adding like they're throwing like crumbs at us.
Ditto, Roy. Did you just hear?
You're right. Yeah.
Ditto. That's pretty amazing.
You can't even like breed it with anything. What's the point? It's a Ditto.
That's right. That's the whole point of Ditto.
The whole point of Dittos is breeding.
She gets it.
The point is maybe someday you can sell that valuable Pokemon Go collection and the phone that it's on.
You have to sell your phone.
Like, and people have done that, right? People have been selling their Pokemon
I've
Go
seen them on
accounts.
Craigslist.
Yep.
People who buy them are lame.
Valuable Pokemon card in the world sold at an auction for just north of $50,000. The mint condition Pikachu Illustrator.
It also happens to be the best card.
You had to win that, right? Wow. You had to. I think there was a contest.
Never put up for sale. It was an award for winners of an illustration contest conducted by Koro Koro. Wow.
Yeah.
A total of 39 copies were given out among two contests, wow. with only 10 still known
to exist.
See,
what do those people do with the other cards? Like, did you just throw it away? Like, oh, I won this card.
Yeah, like, eh, throw it out with the kids.
It's in grandma's attic somewhere.
I mean, you probably, at the time you were a little kid, you're like, well, it's a card, whatever. Just, you know, you don't think about that kind
of stuff.
I
still have my Pokemon cards.
Camcom bans a new Street Fighter stage from Pro Competition. The Skies of Honor stage will not be used in Capcom Cup 2016, nor will it be used in the Capcom Pro Tour. Because it's too distracting.
Extremely distracting.
It is distracting, right? Yeah. So you're fighting on top
You're on a plane. Like, Rashid is the new, he's a new character in Street Fighter V, and he's got his bro piloting a plane, and you just fight on top of him.
Yep.
And you fly all around Saudi Arabia.
Around. Is it Darfur? Where is it you are? Dubai.
In Dubai, okay, yeah, sure.
Close enough.
Darfur, not...
But yeah, no, so I mean, the stage, extremely hard to just wrap your head around. Because I mean, as you're flying, the plane is doing fucking crazy.
Some people don't get sick. Like acrobatics.
Some people apparently have.
Why would you make a stage that you can't?
There's
play?
Another. This isn't the first stage to be banned.
You
actually,
move kind of slow. It's not like you're like zooming around. Like when you see it, it is moving.
Does it affect frames
slow.
Or something, or is it just?
I'm not sure. No. Like I've only played it once. I'm not totally sure if it does. But this
just
isn't
saying
the first
it's
time
distracting.
This has happened.
That's
There's
why.
Another beach stage.
Yes,
and you can't see like your character's feet because there's water coming in like
Kanzuki
off the
beach. Prohibited because low traveling projectiles can be obstructed by the water.
Yes,
in
like
the back.
That's kind of cool, though.
Birdie, for example, Birdie has this thing where you can throw a banana on the ground or throw a can and roll it along.
But
if
like,
the waves are there, you can't see it.
If you're going to agree to fight someone on the streets, like there's going to be things like that happen, you know, outside of your control.
The mean streets. Yeah, but Roy, but especially in that stage, it's only one half of the stage, so one player starts off.
Yeah.
Oh,
like if you're on the right-hand side of the screen, you have the waves. Yeah. And if you're Birdie on the right-hand side, you're just like throwing cans. They can't see the cans.
It's funny because when I first saw that, I was like, wow, that's cool. Why haven't they done that before? And then the immediate next thought is, oh, well, doesn't that fuck with the game?
Yeah,
it does.
I think it's fine. Like, they say like they want to make for fun stages too.
Well, yeah, and like Smash Bros. Okay. There's a ton of for fun like fly around all over.
Right, but it's random. It's not like on the right side of the screen always, right? Like it's
for the beach one in particular. Like it's an advantage for one player, and that's not
sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, Smash Brothers, they clearly separated. Like now they acknowledge that there are levels for fun and not.
But yeah, and that's fine. Yeah, that's
I feel
fine
like
too.
Street
that's
Fighter V is like there is no for fun. It's like competitive.
All you're just playing with your bros.
Let's talk about the Game Awards 2016. We'll end on this.
Shall we?
Hideo Kojima is coming to accept his award this year.
For what?
Isn't
Kojima?
It the one that I couldn't get last year?
Best being a Kojima of the year. Kojima Award.
Best reading of
best
a thing.
Putting up with bullshit for so much.
Yeah. Best make money disappear guy.
Industry Icon Award, live and on stage.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Other nominees. Let's see. Best music sound design, Res Infinite, Enhanced Games.
Wow.
Just read that one.
Best VR game.
Oh, now we see why he wants to talk about this.
Res Infinite, Enhanced Games. What is there? Was there something wrong with the? Are we sure this isn't a bug? No, wait. No. Yep.
Best strategy game.
That's right.
Res Infinite.
Two different nominations.
Are you going?
I don't think so. And I'm not sure I can say the reason why I'm going. Not that it's a bad thing, but it's. So some awards are announced in stream and some awards are not announced in stream. And so I'm not sure that these awards will be announced actually on the show. You know how they do the Academy Awards and they're like,
right.
And, you know, earlier this evening, this was accepted by whatever. So I'm definitely not going.
Okay.
I don't know if Miz is going or not. If Miz Gucci-san is going. Seriously, though, those are actual nominations. But let's look in the best... Let's look in the big categories. Best Action Game, Battlefield 1, Doom, Gears of War 4, Overwatch.
Hell yeah.
Overwatch
is up for like
Titanfall
2.
I get the feeling Doom's going to take it.
Battlefield and Overwatch are in here a lot. Best Action Adventure Game, Dishonored 2, Hitman, which is interesting. Hyper Light Drifter got it in there. And Ratchet and Clank and Uncharted 4. Uncharted 4 is in here a bunch as well.
Yeah. How about that Best RPG? Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Hey.
Best RPG.
What's it up against?
It's kind of the only RPG in that whole category. That's
Why
my thing with this whole thing is like their categories are like, they bother me. I thought after last year, people complaining about it, they would like fix stuff by like separating stuff that shouldn't be together, like mobile
best
and handheld.
Yeah, mobile and handheld. That's
the weirdest.
Like,
that's a popular thing. And it's probably going to be faker.
Yeah.
Anything else super exciting of note? I always laugh at best fighting game because it's pretty much every fighting game that came out that year. Yeah. It's like an old category that's still around. It's like racing game too. It's like every major racing game. Although they combine sports and racing, which I think is maybe kind of smart.
I feel like they should just put fighting in the esports. Like, just make an esports.
But is it esports?
Yeah, fighting games are esports.
Wow, are you for real?
What is it?
That's offensive.
Wow, the Overwatch girl. Calling out Street Fighter.
Guys, calm down.
They do have best esports game. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Counter-Strike, Dota 2, League of Legends, Overwatch, Street Fighter 5.
It's going to be Overwatch.
I think that'll
probably
be
Overwatch.
I think
Overwatch is going to do well.
A lot of esports categories, like 3 or 4 esports categories.
It's a big thing now.
Advertisers.
I was
going to
say, that's where the money's at.
I'm more excited about the trailers, but I have literally no idea what they could show.
10 new IP, I
think. Do you think there's going to be a new Nintendo game? Maybe we get a new Nintendo thing?
The Keelys do generally get some love from Nintendo. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe
hopefully
they'll have
it's not another Donkey Kong
different
Country.
Switch. I don't know if they would upset their own Apple cart, but maybe they show something that wouldn't be like a technical, like new thing, maybe just like another tease of something they've already kind of shown.
New Metroid, come on.
Cranky Kong
New Zelda trailer just to get people excited more.
Finally, Sega gives us our first look at Daytona 3.
Daytona!
Yes. Very excited about it here. How does it look, by the way?
Looks like Daytona.
It looks exactly the same.
They basically only showed the first stage for the most part. Like, they updated
Daytona
the...
modernized?
Yeah.
Or?
I mean, well, first of all, the cars themselves are, like, current NASCAR stock cars, so that's different. But otherwise, I mean... It looks like Daytona. They really showed just like a teaser, so you couldn't really tell.
The teaser was disappointing because like they have music in it, but the music so it shows the Saturn version first. Oh, I'm sorry, the old version, the one that was before. And it plays that music and it sounds awesome.
Oh,
and then
awesome.
They showed like new footage and they played like the new version of the song and it sounds like the old version sounded way better. It's just like maybe they didn't mix this yet. It sounds like one dude, it's the same guy, it's our friend. He's like basically singing the music, but it's like the background just sounded totally like lifeless and everything, and I was just like, maybe they threw this trailer together in like 2 days.
They got time to fix it. They got time to fix it. When does that come
out? I'm surprised that like no actual game footage came out. Was that like a like arcade game show in like Tampa, Florida?
This week's IAAPA Attractions Expo in Orlando, Florida.
The arcade industry has got to get their acronyms together. Okay, it's been a long time now. Do something better.
Yeah.
IAAJ. What
Leakable,
is it?
Linkable up to IAP. 8 players. Live camera system. You can watch your opponent's faces. Recreations of the original Daytona USA's trio of tracks. Arcade only, it says. Although I can't imagine this not coming at some point.
Yeah.
Everywhere. And I guess there's no date at least on this. So.
Coming to an arcade near you.
Coming in 2 weeks is the next 8-4 play, JJ. Until then,
yes.
What should people do?
The joke was there was no arcades near you because they're all dead.
Yeah, I got it. I just tried to skip these things and dwell on them.
Where can they find us at our website, 8-4.jp, or second home on the internet, giantbomb.com. Secondhome.com, that's my website. And we also always have a NeoGAF thread. You can find our Facebook. Apparently, Russians fucking love us.
That's right. More Russians, please.
More Russians.
Thank you for your fan letters. I appreciate them. Counts and duchesses, especially.
The Baron, I think it was.
Please send me more calligraphy.
Did we find out what
that
was
about?
Will
you go to their mansion?
That was really nice.
Yeah,
that's,
it was very,
that's awesome.
They're
very
awaiting you on the vernal equinox.
Mm-hmm.
I would love it if we actually did have tons of Russian fans, but I'm pretty sure it's just like some click site thing or whatever, probably like feeding us.
For people who don't know,
so skeptical. People who don't know what we're talking about.
We're not cool enough to be popular. Right. In
maybe we are.
Maybe if we stream.
Maybe
we are. Who said that?
Me and John are like admins on our Facebook page, and we get notifications whenever someone ever likes our Facebook. And for the past month, every day there's two or three Russian people.
That's right.
Who like our Facebook
that's
page?
That's right. That's my count.
I don't know.
That's count. What's whatever his name
the
was.
Baron. He's a Baron.
Baron.
Yeah. See, we're best friends.
Yeah.
He invited you to his mansion. Are you gonna go?
He didn't give any directions or anything. He just said like on the spring equinox. I don't even know when that is.
March 11th.
The Russian spring equinox. Oh, this is the Japanese.
We looked at it. No, we looked at up. It's same.
Oh,
it's the same.
Same planet.
Yeah. No, wait. No. But Japan has a national holiday for the...
Shimbunahi, right?
For the equinox, right? And that's not like...
But I mean, it's still the same
random
day.
Japan is only summer and winter. Yeah,
no, I'm sorry.
No spring and fall.
No, sorry, Graham. You're wrong.
Somebody Google that for us.
Yeah.
So anyway, we love Russia, even if Russia doesn't really
love
us.
People love Russia.
I don't know about that. But yeah, so you can also find us on our official Twitter at 84play. Mine is SPRSK.
At Mark MacD.
Diamond Howard.
At Sarah Pods.
John TV.
At Kotawari.
And I think that's basically it.
When we're back, it will be December.
Yep.
All right.
Well, we'll be living in a post Final Fantasy 15 world.
That's right.
I can't imagine what that's going to be like.
Oh, man. That's going to be.
But just before The Last Guardian,
I might not. Be here
for, that may be around PSX. So there's PSX is happening.
PSX will happen. The awards will have happened. It'll be good. It'll be good. Until then, so yeah, come back in 2 weeks. Till then, Sarah, what would you like to say to all the tent people?
All the tent people?
There? Yeah, why don't you
please,
close with your message to the tent
me,
people?
Please, tweet me. Please tell me. Who are you? What do you want? How long will you wait for it?
Deals
I need
and
to
forever.
Know. I need to know.
And that's at Sarah Pods. At Sarah Pods, let's be very clear.
What do you want and how long will you wait for?
Yeah. Let's go away from Daytona, USA. Daytona, Daytona, let's go away. Come on, Daytona, Daytona, let's go away. Daytona. The course is really tough, but it's a beautiful day, so go right. Daytona, let's go away. Daytona, Daytona, let's go away. Daytona, and they're on the way. Control down the crash coming now on them three. Better hurt yourself. Hey, you're right. Somebody coming off behind you.
Now.